All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order. I may need, I don't see Colleen on yet, so I may need to take a few minutes.
Ed Zito.
So that everybody can hear. So please bear with me. Colleen, you there?
I am here. This is Colleen. I am here. It's really difficult to hear you guys, so anybody on the call might be challenged.
Okay, tell me to you. I don't know why I'm not here. Okay, let's call the meeting to order. This is the July 23rd, 2020 meeting of the Board of Governors. Teleconference from the clubhouse with some chairs available in the clubhouse for association members. The meeting has been announced in the website and through other social media, and the agenda has been posted. There will be public comments at the beginning and at the end of the meeting. If you'd like to make a public comment, dial *6 and let us know when you are recognized, what your name is, and where you live. We are going to modify the procedure a little bit for efficiency. Sharon brought to my attention that we can have a consensus vote on just like a minute. So we'll speed things up. Let me just take attendance. Steve O'Shane, Janet Benelli, Sharon Bruce, Rick DeShanko, Will Fountain, Phil Lombardo. Brooke, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Jean Galati and Sandy Adams.
All right, Brooke is here. I have her on attendance. Al Capoza has signed in. Ruth Ames is here. And Jim Moffitt is here. Thank you. Okay. All right, so first on the agenda is approval of the minutes. The minutes are for June 16th, June 25th, and July 14th. We can take comments for any of those meetings, and if there are no comments, we can just have a consensual vote to approve them. Does anybody have any comments for any of the minutes?
Cheryl, this is Alan Capoza.
I noticed some of them are just recordings. Are we going to have a synopsis on the web?
I have seen all of the 16th and the 25th are recorded, but if you look under the recording, there's a little thing that you can click on to get the one in writing. And Brooke just sent everyone on the board the July 14th minutes maybe yesterday. Okay, so...
Cheryl, can you hear me?
No. All right, thank you. Yes, no. Okay.
Wants to make a change to the minutes. Is he, do you have him?
You know, he's here, but this is worrisome.
Can you hear me?
Colleen, can you hear us? Colleen is on as well.
Brooke and Al and myself can all hear you, but you're not hearing us.
Right.
So this is a problem.
Two are me and Colleen. Check and see if Al is muted. I think Colleen unmuted him. I'm getting a call.
Yep, trying to.
Did you just say something? I don't know, maybe. It's Brooke. Yes, Brooke.
Hi, so yes, Colleen and I and Al can all hear you guys, and I hear them talking, but for some reason you guys aren't hearing us.
Hang on, don't go away. Okay, you are not muted. No, you're not muted. Oh, this is going to be a problem for public comment.
It's too funny. Now it's all the way up.
Yeah, it's not muted on my end either, so I don't know why.
You know what? I'm going to unplug the speaker and see if I glitched up something with the speaker.
Okay.
Say something again.
Hello.
Now we hear it.
Oh, good. It's weird. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Brooke. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, this is the problem. Okay, thank you, Brooke.
No problem.
All right, we're going to have, can everybody hear my computer?
When you have them plugged in, did you down at the bottom with a little thing with a little microphone or amplifier?
Let me look. Last time I didn't have to do anything special,
yeah.
But do you want to come pick
sure, up? Sure, yeah, because sometimes I just have to have an
this is all in the interest of being able to hear from our membership, so hold on with us, sorry.
All right.
So it's not plugged in now.
Sure.
Okay, just plug them in.
Plug them in? Maybe it's because I spilled the yogurt this morning.
But Linda's listening and she can hear perfectly.
She can hear, but we can't hear her. But now we can, but we can't hear him loud. So.
Is there a volume control on the
speaker? Yeah,
we did turn it off.
We did turn it
off.
On the speaker?
Yeah. Well, let me turn it up. Yeah, maybe I turned it. I did turn it down because it was too loud. Yep.
No, there
Brooke, say something.
I think you're going to have to plug it. I'm not sure what the issue here is.
Can you hear me?
Wow. Yay! Yes.
You're
now good.
Hey, I'm going to mute myself because I have a dog that barks.
You're going to what?
I'm going to mute myself now because I have a dog that barks.
Oh, you're going to mute yourself. Okay. All right.
Now, see if Al's.
Al, can you respond now?
Okay, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Wonderful. And you can hear us pretty well?
Yes.
Okay. All right. The minutes have been approved by consensus. Communications to the board have been posted and will be attached to the minutes.
Hey, wait, didn't Al want to make a modification to the minutes, right?
Yeah. Al, did you want to make a modification to the minutes?
If it's possible, right. I would like to make a suggestion for a change in the line item that would be make the sentence read correctly. And that's on page 3. And
okay.
It's the sentence about 3/4 of the way down. It says, Mr. Capoza noted they're a local firm out of Mystic and services will be $250 more than before. I'd like that change so it reads services will be $250 more than the other firm. Period.
Thank you, Al. Brooke has a question for you.
What was that? I don't have a question.
I guess that was Jane in the background. Okay.
Okay.
And you're okay with that change? You got that, Brooke?
I got it.
Good. Okay. So consensus.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Al.
Yep.
Okay.
Consensus for what?
For approval of the minutes.
Sure. I don't trust you. You still need a motion and a second.
We do need a motion.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about it later. We're going to start around for schools that said, okay.
Can
we
have that the
all three?
Minutes as amended? All three as amended?
Thank you. Second?
I'll second.
Okay. Everybody approve? Unanimous?
Aye.
Yes, thank you. Okay, thank you, Sharon. Another meeting. Yes, we'll talk. Okay, it is time for public comments now. We have some people in the room, so we will address them first. While those of you who want to make comments from home will get your technology in order and dial *6. Hang on, I'm sorry. question. All right. Public comments? Yes.
Carol Ward, 23 Booth, Karen. I noticed that Waterside was on the agenda. And being handicapped for years, I have always parked there. And I just want to make sure that it is allowed, that parking is allowed on the Waterside. Because there's not very many handicapped parking. And that has really been helpful to me.
Okay, we will be discussing that during the meeting. Thanks, okay. Ma'am. Yes.
Hi, Dave Vogel, 19 Park Court. I have a brief letter I'd like to read at the request of Dave and Susan Murray of 39 Seabreeze. They'd be here themselves to read it, present it to you, except that they just had a birth of a new grandchild yesterday, and they're obviously preoccupied with a few other things. It's a brief letter. I'll read it, and I would request that if the rules of the board permit that the text be included in its entirety in tonight's minutes.
It will be attached to the minutes.
Attached to the minutes. Fine. Thank you. The letter, subject to the letter, is voting rights within the board on association business. Dear members of the Black Point Board of Governors, we have been members of the BPBCA for over 40 years. We have paid taxes to the association for over 40 years and have spent our entire summers here for over 40 years. Several years ago, we put our cottage in trust for estate planning purposes, naming our daughters as trustees with the intent that the house stay in the family for the next 40 years or more. It appears that the board relied upon Section 7, Subsection 6 of the General Statutes of Connecticut in amending the charter to provide that, quote, all persons who are over 18 years of age who own or may own land within said limits shall, while they continue to be owners of such land, be members of the Black Point Beach Club Association and entitled to vote at any meeting of said association and shall be eligible to any office in said association, unquote. It is unclear why the board elected in a special meeting in 2009 to make this amendment. The law, Connecticut General Statute 7, Subsection 6, does not specifically address whether the owner of property held in trust can vote on a local question, and there is no case law directly on point in the state of Connecticut to address this issue. Legislation in the state of Connecticut proposed in 1996 in the General Assembly, but not approved, I would add, would have allowed a person who is a trustee of real property to vote at municipal referendums as long as he or she meets the other age and tax liability requirements. We asked the board to consider and to explain why the voting rights of property owners of property held in trust for estate planning purposes should be treated any differently than the voting rights of property held outright, and respectfully submit that there should be no differentiation. Thank you, Susan and David Murray, 39 Seabreeze.
Thank you, Susan, David, and thank you, David, for reading that. Okay. Anybody in-house with any other comments? All right, we have two at the moment. All right, you are on area code 508-561, et cetera. Thank you. Area code 508, don't forget to dial star 6. Oh, you already have it. It's on my window. They already have. Okay, area code 508, I'm going to go to the next caller and come back to you. Oh, wait.
I'm unmuted now.
Aha, thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Cindy Trokey?
Okay.
Okay, thank you. I live at 22 Blue Mountain.
Cindy, your address, please.
Yes, it's Cindy Trokey at 22 Blue Heron.
Thank you.
And I was looking for some transparency, particularly to Robert Rules, and maybe be put on our website so that we understand as members of Black Point Beach Club Association of how our meetings are supposed to be run, so that we can be added to the agenda or have items put on the agenda for future agendas. And as for our charter, which is the laws of our property owned in the Association of Municipalities, and I would like to have us members be knowledgeable of our charters and to hopefully have discussions to know the laws and to be enforcing and respecting as members. Specifically, I have been at the meeting and quoted, according to Robert's rules, I would like to have been put on the agenda and discuss Section 1 of our charter. And I am pleading with you as the board to not have a set belief, like I have made up my mind, and don't confuse me with the facts. The fact is that Section 1 says that any person, and I understand that you're saying a trust is not a person, but it says that any person who is over 18 who has a freehold interest in the association should have the opportunity to speak and to be part of the voting. I also would like to be put on the agenda for Section 9 for our zoning and to understand what it is that we're really supposed to have. I would like our website also to show our deeds, which will give us an understanding as members to what we really own and what our rights are here and what we need to protect for our property. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Okay, I have unmuted Eric, phone 263-9147. It may take a while to unmute. It seemed to have done that with Cindy. Is this what you mean? Okay. Anybody have any suggestions? It sounds like, did you just hang up? Call, dial star 6 again if you'd like. It sounds like there was a glitch there, but we did get some squeaks from you. Okay, it sounds like you just called in. Don't forget to dial star 6 and we'll wait for it to connect. Any suggestions? Whoever the caller is, that I don't know if you don't want to do it or if you got on by accident, but I'm going to give you my cell phone number so you can call and maybe we can work it out. And if you, otherwise, if you can wait for public comments at the end. But my my number here is 845-667. 6118. And only call me if you're the person that couldn't get in. And we have another caller. Okay, Peter Lee.
Yes, good evening. My name is Peter Lee. I'm a resident here of Black Point, moving in approximately 3 or 4 years ago. Love the location and appreciate this opportunity to speak to the board. I just have, and I see it's on the agenda for this evening, to talk about the beach at the end of our street, Seaview Ave. and the amount of people that are actually, sunbathing on that beach is rather cumbersome as a, well, past boat owner. My boat sank 2 weeks ago out off of the property. So if that could be covered later on in the discussion, I would appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
All right, so we didn't get a call. Okay, I'm going to close public comments, and we will have them again at the end of the meeting. All right. We have reports that we can review, except... I abbreviated them because some of the reports that we get, we're going to definitely be discussing them under old business or new business, and they're not necessarily ad hoc or standing committees, but people on the board who represent different areas of specialty. And for Sharon, Janet, I don't know if you know, on the board, people tend to take on roles to kind of be the mediator for that and feedback to the board. And as a matter of fact, Mike was working with Will Brown, and Bill was working on small craft and fishing. And we'll get to that later because I think we may need to look at actual committees rather than individuals for some of those things. But if either of you would be willing to be the insurance liaison, which just means instead of the chair having to do it whenever there's a question about insurance or protecting the association, you would be the person. So I'm not going to put you on the spot right now, but if one of you would consider doing that and you want to know more about it, it's not an enormous task. It would just be one less thing that the chair didn't used to do it, but then we lost the person that did it. Okay, so... Treasury report has been submitted. Does anybody have any questions for Al? Or Al, is there anything you want to add to your report?
Cheryl, I guess if you could just give me a couple minutes, I'll quickly go over the points. I submitted two reports specifically. One of them was for the fiscal year ending June 30th, and on that report, it showed that the income before the pier project amounted to $30,691 for the year. The pier project cost came in about $68,800 over the funds collected from the assessment, and that gave us a final loss for the year of
We have all made efforts to make sure that we're reading all the reports, so this would be a time for you to, if you think anything needs to be clarified or have questions of the board or questions for you.
I don't have any specific questions unless the board has specific questions.
Okay, we have a question from Rick, Al.
Yeah, this guy has a simple question. I guess just on the variance from budget on when you're looking at the peer summary. $90,000 negative, $2,900 negative, $90,000 negative, and plus $65,000, and somehow we get end up with minus $68,000. I think there's a negative sign off there somewhere, at least looking at the column. It seems like it's right. The total doesn't blend.
Okay, I can look into that, Rick. But essentially, what we had is that we had the peer assessment of like $603,000 and the peer cost of $673,000. So that essentially gave us cost all, you know, in excess of the assessment of the $68,000. The
I'm just worried about the details, the negative and positive.
Okay.
That's where I'm
let me
if you want to send me a note on that, that's fine, just so I can get it straight in my head.
Great. Okay. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Al.
Anybody else? Okay. Cheryl?
Yes.
Yeah. Let me just quickly go through the highlights for the month of July.
Okay.
That's our first month of the new year.
Okay.
We received $158,000 in as income, and that's mostly from the collections of this year's tax assessment. That basically represents 78% of what we budgeted for the year. And our expenses were only $18,395, and that was mostly our payroll cost, our taxes to the city of East Lyme, and workers' comp insurance premium. The nature of our our fiscal year, we get most of the revenue in for the first 3 months, and the expenses basically are incurred throughout the year. So that's all I had. If there's any questions.
Any further questions? Okay, thank you so much, Al.
Okay.
All right, we have our report from Ruth Ames, tax collector, which explained what percentage of our taxes have been submit and what the backups are. Is there anything you want to add to that, Ruth, or are there any questions to Ruth?
If you have questions, I'm here to answer. But you do very well. Your people are very responsive.
Isn't that nice? Did everybody hear that out there? You're all great.
Well, that's hard.
Oh, yeah. Those that aren't, Ruth is shaking her finger at you. Okay. Steve, is there anything from zoning?
We met last Friday night, and there were discussions regarding the non-conforming lots, the property management guidelines they put together, and zoning issues involving garages and sheds. Zoning is getting the guidelines finally printed and are getting all organized. They want them to be posted on the website, a link to them to the website.
Will they do that, or do they want
us to do that? They probably want
us
to do it.
Okay.
Maybe we can do it once I get the final copy.
Okay.
And they'd like the chair to mention the presence of those aforementioned guidelines in the next black pointer.
Sure.
And maybe show your support in some way, shape, or form.
And the guidelines are still open. A work in progress.
They're done. One line they want to strike out because it's confusing, but it's basically what I.
And they're just they're the guidelines that ultimately the community will vote on them after we.
Well, they're guidelines right now. We want to see how the membership handles it. If it works and clears some items up, that's fine. But it'll probably be several years before they're actually taken on as regulations.
Right.
They just want to make the public aware of the direction they're going in. And
Okay, thank you. For those of you who don't know, Steve is the liaison to zoning. Okay. Jim, association manager, we have your report. Do you want to just fill us in on anything you have questions about, or you need help making a decision or problem solving?
Yes, quickly. As in this day, as an addendum in the last week since I submitted that report, is Wilcox Tree Service did some thinning out of the trees over the playground, so get that all cleaned up. There was a swimming advisory on Tuesday from Ledge Light Health District. I got a call from Daniel Costa, and she has put out a swimming advisory, so I immediately passed that to you. I posted them on some signs. I put them in, and they resampled yesterday, and she called me this afternoon about 4 o'clock and said that good news that the advisory is lifted. Clear it up.
Is there anything you need board input on, or any gray areas that you want to discuss, or?
Well, I don't think this floor is acceptable. I'm meeting with Cliff's Carpet on maybe tomorrow.
Great.
To figure that out and move forward on that.
Some of the things that were in your report, yep, we incorporated into the agenda, so we'll ask, yep, you later on.
What I'm talking about right now is just since that. That's a week old.
Okay. Okay.
But that's it. That's all I have. I ordered a roller assembly for the gangway plank down on the CB boat dock.
Great.
Yep. But other than that, it didn't seem to be any. Well, it's in my report.
Thank you.
Questions on the report.
Any questions for Jim?
Yeah, Jim, I saw in your report somebody had asked the young men to do something about the jellyfish in the water.
That is a question. If there's I could give them a couple nets. They could scoop it out. But is there a liability if there's a severe reaction somebody?
Being my son is a beach control person and doesn't know CPR, if he's now in the water, he might be expected to save somebody. And that's probably, they keep them out of the water,
right,
because they don't want that to happen. So I'm going to say that that's maybe another conversation, but I wouldn't, I think maybe a false expectation would be fine.
Yeah, if we look at the job,
I mean, he'd love to beach control now, but
I mean, you might get a big heart. It's like, you fix a lot of things, but there are some things that jellyfish are a fact of life when at the beach, and I don't think that the association's responsibility to hire people to try to empty the ocean. But that's only one person's opinion.
I would make a request regarding the jellies. If we could have the beach patrol stop people from throwing them on the pier, that concentrates the sting, so if you step on it, it gets worse. They'll sting after they're dead. But also throwing them on the beach for the same reason. People will walk on the beach where the jellyfish have been thrown, and they won't know they're there and they get stung. So
yeah.
I would just have a hands-off policy. It's,
okay.
We've been dealing with it for decades. And
I would think that would be a parent's job.
But
to explain to your child.
And for your information, if you get a jellyfish on the palm of your hand, you rarely will feel it. Forearms and legs and stuff, so people can put them in their own pails if they want, but not up to the board or our beach manager or patrol to address. Thank you, Jim.
And the last one is that we wrote 44 tickets so far and 6 for $25 out of those 44.
And what were the others?
Were warnings with golf carts and cars.
Did we talk about no warnings this year when we're talking about COVID?
Well,
stuff?
If they had a BP sticker on the back.
I think we made a decision. I can't remember. I thought the decision was no warnings this year. Okay, so the board made a decision, no warnings this year. No hunting people down, just tickets people can appeal, as we have no appeals. But this is not a gray area. It's a discussable area. But if the board chose that action, we need to ask you to do it until you bring it up with the board because you have an issue with it as manager. But please don't act against things the board
has. I know. I think it was raised and it passed that person put on the BPs. If they had the BPs, if they get a warning, I thought that was one of the choices. I mean,
That might be the inception of it, but I think the last.
I think the decision was no warning, because we were really concerned about an influx, which may or may not be happening, but the point is the board made the decision we have to ask you to trust the board.
Yep.
At the same time, we said that those monies would go towards the Cale scholarship.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a way of softening the blow. So.
Yep.
But the fact that you did 44 somethings means that your people are really working hard on focusing.
And they're not out, there's no cars in the parking lot without the tags.
That's wonderful. Thank you. A few other things I asked after you submit. Were you able to send anyone to check the Sea View kayak rack to see if people, when I was down there, people using them were not, did not
have tickets? I counted 66 vessels down there.
Oh, no, just in terms of, the Sea Spray kayak rack.
Yeah, we've been taking them off.
Okay.
If they don't have the stickers.
Okay. And if you figure out a system to put a...
Right? No paddleboards on them either.
No
paddleboards.
And that Sea Spray has been attended to as well?
Yeah.
Great. And do you have any kind of warning that you put on?
The warning is in there that says, the sign says, if it's not a sticker, it will be removed.
Okay, I think we talked the last meeting reading before. What we used to do, rather than take it off immediately, is just take a piece of packaging tape with a sign saying, either get a registration or will be removed in a week. And that way we're not frightening people that, we're going to
get
in.
The trailers.
Okay. So could you do that with anything on the kayak rack? Interestingly enough, when people were getting those, we got a lot of calls. A lot of people were just unaware. So if you could start informing people and just give them a chance to remediate that. Thank you. Okay. Can we make a motion for all four reports? Okay. Would someone make a motion to, does anybody have any more questions for Jim? Okay, could someone make a motion to accept the Treasurer, Tax Collector, Zoning, and Association Manager?
So moved.
Second? That was Sharon Brooke. Anybody object? Okay. It was unanimous consent, Brooke. All right. Next on the agenda is long-term fiscal planning committee. So that kind of grind to a halt because of COVID and the loss of treasurer when it was first established. Bill and Rick have been reinstituting it. So, hang on, I have your comments right here. Rick, would you fill us in since I'm losing my system here?
Yeah. I'm trying to get the committee started. Had a couple of false starts, but I think we're ready to go. I wanted to just make sure that the board was kind of we're going to let the committee do its thing, but I think we also should give it some direction and make sure it's heading the direction we want it to go. So, in the overview, I'm thinking that we want the scope of the committee to be make recommendations for funding for long-term capital needs, and I identified at least three action steps. One, identify long-term projects. Two, estimate project costs and time frames. And three, develop a funding strategy. So I'm looking to see from you guys if that is okay. Is there something we're missing? Take any feedback you can get.
Sounds great to me.
Okay, right now, when we first did this, we had a number of people who said they were interested in participating. Rick, Al Sposa, Dan Lemieux, Mike Johnson, and myself. We could use a couple more people. Rick, you said you might have some ideas. Do you have a name or two for me?
I was thinking we need to get some of the, we are kind of veterans of the beach. I would like to get a generation below us if you have some ideas. Not you, I mean.
I know.
You know, I just ideas.
Unless you want
because long-term things need to have some younger people involved, and especially with kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have grandkids, a lot of us have grandkids, but that's where my concern is. There's a lot of things that we don't think about just because we're beyond that stage. And I think it's important that we include that demographic in our group. And I haven't quite found the right person to say yes yet.
Okay.
You want to quote something in the black pointers? Or just go, we'll use Janet.
No, not as for everything, as a resource.
Yes.
How about Janet as a participant?
So my son is going to Astro for business, and I think that would be something that maybe that would, I don't know if you have time, but I can see where if you put that in the black pointers, where that makes sense. People do want to get involved, and I think it's a good experience, and I think they're into the community, and I think it's great. So I'm happy to participate, and if I can find people, and I think I can, then I...
How many people are you looking for? So don't forget
I think we have... We have one, two, three, four, five, two or three more.
Yep.
We can't have more than three board members.
Right. Steve has,
I know Steve. Steve, we're talking about a generation thing. You happen to be in the...
I know.
Okay, gotcha. So I'll wait on the black pointer until you...
Well, I guess it comes out.
It comes out every week, so unless, I can either put...
Well, I have one. If somebody comes up with a name, I just...
Because you may get inundated, so if you know somebody... Otherwise, you're going to have to, you know, if you get 10 people, then you're going to have to go through the process of...
Okay, so everybody think about it. I'll give you 2 days. If you haven't come back to me, I'll fix it.
That's a good idea.
Okay?
Yeah. $48.
Okay. Maybe be a Lily Muffin.
Okay.
Thanks.
But Janet, you're in. Right. The quiz has been like, welcome to the room.
No, I am.
Good.
I'm new.
The other thing is that even though we're going to have a committee talk about this stuff, I think there's some stuff that we need. We obviously need
a working barrier.
We're going to need a list of all the stuff we own. Can you put together a list of stuff?
You have a children too.
Who has it?
I know.
You don't have the tax list or something?
I have the tax list for the properties owned by the individuals in the association. But nothing about this building or anything. I don't have that.
I kind of thought maybe, yes, Will.
Oh, that makes sense because we don't pay black points.
I thought that she would have it, but you're right, we don't pay tax.
Boyd threw it out.
Who?
A couple of years ago, he had the list of everything.
Okay, so we'll have to figure that out. So the committee ought to do that.
Is that something that would be easily accessible to you?
What exactly are you looking for?
For a list of property because that will be...
The list of properties?
The wheel.
Capital. Oh, that you can get through the assessor. That's not a problem.
Have that?
No, I don't have it, but I can get it.
Okay, that would be great.
I'm just looking for a list of things.
This list we might have to fix someday. That's all.
Okay.
Okay, little bit. Brooke, what did you say?
I believe it's right in the manual. Have Janet or Sharon look in the binder. I believe there was a list in there.
Really?
I've seen maps, but I didn't see the list. But.
Yeah, okay. I think it's after the map.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, the map is there, yeah. I think that's different than a list of property.
He said once it cools off, he'll help again.
An engineering study for our peers.
Yes.
Where is that?
It's coming.
We paid for that a long time ago, didn't we?
No.
No?
We paid for it at the end of June.
Okay. Do you know when?
When we paid for it?
No, when we're going to get it.
He said the first or second week of July that's gone by. I've given him another job as far as the biller of right-of-ways.
Right.
I will get on him. I've been calling once a week.
I'm just saying that's something that I think the committee could use.
Absolutely. Oh, okay. Yeah.
We'll have it by the middle of August.
And Al, can you hear me? Al? Maybe he's muted. I'll ask him. I think I'm going to ask Al.
He's not muted.
I'm here.
Al, can you hear us?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Joe's got a question for you.
I think it would be helpful if we had a list of past things and capital expenditures. So if there's an relatively easy way to go back a number of years and come up with a list of stuff we've already done that we have to do again or never have to do again, that would be helpful too. Okay, and then I'm going to wait 48 hours and then I'm going to see what we have and then we'll have a meeting.
Okay, I'll work on it.
And I won't do anything with the Black Point just till I hear from
them. Yeah, let's.
Black Pointer stuff goes in by Monday.
Monday?
Yeah. Monday, like morning.
It has to be fiscally in Monday?
Well, I just call her.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Usually Sunday, Monday she's with, doing the last minute stuff.
It works with the 48 hours.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Okay. All right, and now we can segue right into seawall update. We have both the Bel Air right of way, which is more complex. So maybe we should start with the sea spray right-of-way where, why are these numbered all wrong? I had this all organized. Anyway, Will had reported on the sea spray right-of-way that there was something plugged up and it was spurting out and it may need attention.
Yeah, he looked at it and it appeared to be the house drains were plugged, going to the ocean, and this line is plugged and broken in the ramp area.
So it's on our property.
It's the homeowner.
Is it a curtain drain? Or a curtain drain from the foundation?
All the gutter.
It comes off the roof and comes across our property
and
down the ramp. It was illegally put there.
Yeah.
We should have put it there.
Yeah, we plug it up and cross the entrance to her property with a
drywall.
Well,
they should have a drywall there for the water to go down. That shouldn't go on our property.
No, it shouldn't. Like Jim said, it was put there illegally.
So, do we need to act on this? Right now, there's water gushing up. It's potentially damaging the ramp.
Well,
the pipe is bumped up to the surface and pushing it up.
I don't think it's damaging the concrete ramp.
Yeah. Is it damaging? Do we need to do anything about it?
Okay. They put it there.
Okay, so there's a spout of water. It's not breaking anything up and it's not damaging.
Are they complaining about it?
No. I got an email from someone with a picture of it. I can't remember who it was, but it was looked into, and we don't need to take any action.
The homeowner
should do it.
We can't be held liable for something they did. Even if it's a previous owner.
As long as it's not on our property, no. If it's on our property, I'm liable. But it's not on our property, right?
Huh?
It is not on Black Point Association property, is it?
Right.
It might be on Black Point property, and it has the potential to do damage to our neighbor.
Yeah.
So, do we need to just watch it, or do we need to have a?
Has anybody talked to the homeowner?
No. Has anyone talked to the homeowner? I'm asking a question.
Not me. I think we should talk to the homeowner, know the risk, and have them correct.
If it's on our property. Oh, okay. Do you want to do that?
Of course I do.
Well, you're the peers guy.
I am. It empties right where the seawall meets the concrete ramp.
it empties there. So if they're all going out into the water, into the beach, and it's the runoff from their roof.
But it's blocked. It's blocked?
It's a direct runoff from their roof into a pipe, into the ramp, down, out into the water.
But it crosses our property.
And then there's one section of it that like bursts. So when it rains really hard, that's when you see it sprouting, but it sprouts into the beach area. It's not sprouting onto land, our land.
Oh,
out
cool.
Out the middle of the
I'll
ramp,
talk.
But out into the beach.
Okay.
I may bring the zoning fellow with me.
Yeah, because there are rules about runoff.
If it crosses our property, we...
It definitely crosses our property.
All right, then I'll talk.
All right, you're on, Steve. Thank you.
I'm sure I can.
Oh.
If I can get her name and address, that'd be great.
Is it on Kathy Benigni's
yes.
side?
Yes.
Kathy Benigni.
I got you.
I can see that. Okay. All right. Thank you. Follow up on Osprey right of way. Jim showed us the pictures and the waterside has been marked, and we'll propose something. Some kind of a barrier to keep, there was a request made and approved to make some kind of line of demarcation to keep cars from parking on the right of way, but allowing people, strollers, bikers, access to that right of way from the blacktop. So,
okay, we're so waiting for a quote.
Yeah.
And we'll.
Okay, I've got a question. What I don't understand is the parking area, the size of that. Is that our we own the property? Is that correct? Well,
we own the property. It's on the dock. You can see it.
So how I've seen cars parked parallel. I've seen cars parked vertically. What is how much land are we talking
about? And who's maintaining that land? I think historically the people are because it's no big deal. Yeah.
But we
yeah, it's only three cars in for a few things.
A standard parking spot. 8 feet by 20 feet.
Okay, so when cars are parked on motorcycle,
yeah.
I walked by there a couple of days ago.
Okay.
Yeah, four cars parked, not parallel to the road.
Yeah, we're thinking of the homeowners who are on the end of their property, which runs right to a spot, and they line them up. The trucks, they all line them up, but that's not the homeowner's property. The car man.
Our property is for parallel parking on the grass, three cars length. The most
right.
I could get was three cars. I could not find. We don't have a survey. They don't care.
And
how can we
mark it with a
two stakes?
There are two stakes at the beginning and end now on the grass. The question is whether enough people understand that the signs are pushed in. But we may need some follow-up for people that don't know not to park on the road, to park on the grass. But most of the self-teach people know that. But what's misleading is the people who own the rest of the property park, you know, the other way. But that's not
but right. Jim just said the person who owns the property is parked where those park between the stops.
Yeah, but up to the end of their property, which is like 8 feet in. That's our, we run a parallel.
So they were not parking on our official parking lot. They were parking, but that's what the problem is. It's misleading because they park whatever they want.
I didn't know.
And when we were setting up, we were putting in 9 posts on end of Oxford to the new house, parallel to the new house. 9 posts. They're going to be $100 each, about $1,000. And we were going to put a couple posts in between on water side between the two signs, and the people started walking out of the house and say, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. We park our trucks here. We don't want to create a problem. So that ended. But we still put up the 9 posts that run parallel to the right of way, walking down to the pier, you know, on the right, on the new grass.
There's going to be nine posts, 80 feet long, spaced like 9 feet, 10 feet spaced.
And that's to keep cars from parking over there.
Yeah, we could put little plastic chains between them if we want. If in the future we decide to make them golf cart spots, you could still maneuver in there so you can use it that way if that's in the future. But also to get your carts and your bikes in.
Do we know where the property line is on the right of way?
There's no A2 survey done on that. That's needed because there's a lot of disputes down that. Who owns what? But that grass area where we're putting those ground posts, those are ours. So that's our property.
How far off the road? 3 feet?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not going to go to the border of the right of way. It's going to be a deterrent for people parking.
Yeah.
It's to keep people from moving there, so it should be relatively close to the avenue.
Maybe put a chain every other one or something so you can still maneuver. Or just leave them empty. Just the posts. They're going to be nice looking PVC covered posts at $100. That's all.
Yeah, my only question, I thought it was going to be a chain along the whole thing. And I was like,
yeah, we can do that. We can add that after.
Well, if you have it the whole way. It's going to impede people to do every other one, then people can ride their bike and push their strollers without, I mean, I know an 18-inch chain step over is not always...
Yeah, they're only going to be 3 feet high. They're
not... And I was just talking about if there's a chain the whole way.
Right.
That impedes people's access with strollers, weak legs, or bikes from going from the grass to the asphalt.
But we have to get equipment in there.
It gets trimmed by our lawn cutting service.
You could get in from the end. Yeah, I was just wondering.
They didn't see a problem with it.
Right. Do we need to approve that amount?
I haven't got the quote yet.
Yeah. Okay.
It's going to be $1,000.
Next, we'll suggest we do that. Okay. All right. Thank you. Next thing on the agenda is parking tag replacement. At the beginning of the summer, there will have been an inordinate amount of lost parking tags. Ruth submitted a report explaining what other communities do and suggested that we do that. So we can look at Ruth's report, ask the questions, make a decision. The other thing is several people over the past few years, and now that we're ticketing, it's more of an issue for people, still believe that our Black Point stickers are parking tags and are dismayed to find out that they are not, and some workers have appealed because they thought to. So while we're having that discussion, we may want to talk about, does it make sense to have Black Point stickers at all? They don't serve any function other than a sentimental one. So does anybody want to ask Ruth any questions about possible approaches to replacing a parking tag?
How many have been lost?
About 16. Normally, there's between 3 and 4. But I think as much of the issue is the fact that the golf carts are using the hanging tags. And that's, I don't know this for a fact, but perhaps that's where they're being lifted from versus in the car. The other thing is that your hanging tags are very flimsy, and the other associations are sturdy pieces that are going to be difficult with.
Okay, thoughts about the chat?
I know a friend of mine had, I think, their parking ticket taken 2 or 3 times last year from their golf cart because there really isn't a way to secure it. My husband finally took a piece of plexiglass and screwed it in to the steering wheel of the golf cart so nobody could take it out. So, I mean, I wonder if this year we're having more of an issue because you have other beaches being closed and people coming over here. So I wonder if we might be able to use those stickers for the golf carts, because then you know that they're here. You can't come in here on a golf cart without that. I also would say if you're going to keep with the sticker, I think the sticker should be put on scooters, because those can come in from anywhere. You can drive a scooter in. They're legal on the road other than on a highway. The other thing is, and I don't know if anybody ever checks up here, but I know growing up next door to the bus house, we were always seeing people parking here and then loading everything up and walking down to the beach. So, again, you might have people coming in, you know, when a park is closed and coming and parking here. So I know you can't do something about everything. But
it is a dilemma because right now, in order to make parking available to as many people as possible, we want one ID per family, but the ID system we have now doesn't work effectively for golf carts. But if we give every family that has a golf cart an ID for the golf cart and an ID for their car, then we need to give every member two IDs. So, you know, we can't say you can't get one. Either everybody gets two or no one gets two. I would think, you know, to equitable.
And again, right now you get one free, and this might be a lot of options. If you could pick, you got a golf cart sticker or a car. Like, I would never bring my car down to the beach because I have a golf cart. Like, I would never.
That's a nice touch.
Yeah. But I don't know how you could manage that. Because somebody has to get an email saying either a golf cart sticker or a car.
But if you did that, my suggestion is that you, on the tax bill, you say, want a beach pass for your car, then you provide, I said $25, but if you want a parking pass for your golf cart, it's another $25. How many people do you think have a car and a golf cart and use both of them on the same day?
So right now one is free. Like now you get this thing for free. So what I'm saying is I think people might have it. I don't know, you might get an argument.
Of course you get an argument.
I'm just saying, so what I'm saying is if you could pick, like I'm never going to drive my car.
So there's two things.
Is there that much of a problem?
Not anymore. Okay. And
I mean, we're talking a lot about this when there's not that much of a problem. The biggest problem we have is the only places around here that have golf carts is here in Old Black Point. We never address parking of golf carts outside of the regular car parking areas, and there's some spaces where that needs to be addressed too. I think we ought to have a comprehensive program with people just looking for parking. And if you want me to look at it and come up with some ideas, let somebody out.
That's on the agenda for
me. Okay.
Other boards have turned this down. Parking for golf carts.
It looks like we have three things on the table. One, do we want to discuss paying for parking tags, be it one or more? Two, do we want to have two different ones? You get to choose one for golf cart and one for car. Or do we want to do one?
Patty Foley DeAngelo.
We should get to it. But for now, just looking at the parking tag, we can, in terms of immediate, do nothing, decide on letting people choose whether they want a golf cart or a car one, make them different, and or the third thing on the table is asking people to pay for it. So if anyone wants to make a motion on any of these, then we'll get a discussion on the few specifics.
I don't see the point we have an immediate need. We're halfway through the summer.
I agree.
So we're halfway through the summer.
Okay.
We have 16 out of 500.
That was 45 emails between me, Jim, and you.
About what?
About the I need another ticket. Jim, you needed, this is the number.
I just heard the number 16. I just heard the number 16.
No, I'm saying the amount of effort between three people. to address 16 lost pets. Because I get it, Ruth gets it, Jim gets it, then we have to identify the number, and Jim's people have to take that number off of their book.
I love that.
Because if someone has it, then if someone stole it, then they need to get a ticket. So I'm just throwing it and just telling you, it's not just 16, it's a lot of work for three people.
I think that we should do what Rick said and do some studying about
it. I agree with that.
Make a decision like that one.
Right. Go ahead.
There's only roughly 4 weeks left out of school.
Yeah, so, we understand that. Okay.
You know, we only have 2 meetings, left, official meetings, unless we want to start having meetings again in October.
We do
have
official meetings.
Okay. So what I'm just saying is, I just think that by the time we come to a resolution and August on it, it's going to be the end of the season. It's too late to do anything now, but I would think we need to address it now. And now we all set to go, so you know what we're talking about next year.
Because I want to go in March.
Yeah.
Okay. So we need a motion. We should probably have the motion before we have discussion, but
he wants to make areas available for golf carts.
Not tonight.
Okay, so that can be under the parking committee.
Yes.
Make a motion that we table this in the upcoming year and let a committee develop a plan that we all can agree on and use it for next year.
Did you want to second it or amend it?
I would amend it.
Okay.
And I found out from Dave Ogle how to do the amendment. All right. So we go down the amend, and if the amend doesn't pass, we go back to the original motion.
Not necessarily. Let's hear what the amend is.
Okay, the procedure is, if you make a motion, I forget about the second or not, an amendment is made while the motion is still on the floor. You vote backwards. First you vote on the amendment. If that doesn't pass, then you vote on the original motion.
So you have 2 motions on the floor at the same
time? Yes, because it's a motion and an amended motion. Yes.
However, if the amendment is something that the originator is acceptable to him, and we don't have to go through the drill. He can be a friendly
member.
A friendly adjustment, whatever
the hell it's called. I don't care.
So I'd like to hear what your suggestion is. Maybe the initiator would say fine.
My only thing is I would just take out the tabling, because that sounds like we're putting it off. I would recommend that we establish a task force or a committee to look into parking passes, parking areas, the whole issue of parking.
That was at the end of the whole
All right.
The table.
Are you saying at this meeting?
We set a committee. We establish a committee and ask for volunteers.
Any questions?
He has to agree to the change.
That's fine.
I'm telling you, I got it in detail. He doesn't have to agree.
Right.
You vote on the amendment. If it doesn't pass, you vote on the original. Okay. Either way you want to do it. Does someone want to second it? Look, you want to say it third?
You changed it to task force.
Task force, yes. I prefer task force.
So, your amendment is that we establish today a task force.
And ask for volunteers to look at the entire issue of parking.
Second it. Great. Motion is seconded. Any negatives? Okay, that was unanimously approved. Thank you, everyone. Now, would we like to move on that before we close the issue and get names and someone who wants to head it? You want to begin the commission?
No.
Okay, and taking volunteers for the parking. Yeah. What is this commission? The parking task. That would include enforcement and tickets and everything else.
Wonderful.
Okay, so I have Will, Rick, Jim.
She would be important as well as
I would think.
I'm happy to be on it as long as you can have a break.
We can have as many as we want, and if it's the whole board, once it's three, once it's four, it's a board meeting anyway. And if we want to have a special board meeting, I mean, a lot of us have a lot to say. If everybody wants to have another board meeting.
No.
Okay, so we have Will, Rick,
thank you for
Rick. Does anybody else want to be on it?
I think you're capable.
I think you're capable. Cheryl, did you get my name?
I did.
Yes, I was
going
when your task force comes.
Okay.
Great, we get to vote on.
So,
yes.
Then we're on.
Yeah. You will probably wind up having many tasks.
The
first one will be determining what to do with pay. Whether you're going to charge for them or whether you're going to have two, because you have two about card or just going to have a choice between one or the other. So that'll start, and it will be a standing committee, as things evolve, or an ad hoc.
I think an ad hoc task force. I think you get together.
I just want to be very careful with the word committees and subcommittees. That's why there's a task force, because the task force will come up with ideas, and it's not up to them to come up with a motion, but they'll come up with several different suggestions, where then the board will come up with a motion from those suggestions and act on it.
Okay.
That's all.
Is that, I don't know. Is that different than a committee? I assume committees also give recommendations.
No, committee.
There's been a tradition that committees means something much more formal.
Yeah.
Okay, task force sounds great. Right.
To me, these people will get together, they don't have to announce it, they don't have to put it in the
newsletter,
they don't have to put it on the website, they can just get together and chat.
Well, there's only three of them. If there's four, FOIA means it's a meeting.
Yeah.
If there's three, it's not.
Yeah. Well, so they can just informally get together, just like when two guys get together and look at the
Right. Okay, so we have the parking task force of Will Fountain, Rick Deschenko, Jim Moffitt, and Sharon Brooks. Okay, I erred, surprise, surprise, and we did not address probably the biggest right-of-way concern at this time would be the Bel Air right-of-way, and Steve has been researching that.
All right. Rich Binder, the company that did our pier for us, came out last week, just as an update with a pier two. They re-caulked all the caps, they tightened the bolts, they installed the eye bolt at the end of Seabreeze Pier for the raft. Their plans are to come back, pressure wash the deck of the pier and apply a sealer. That's the other reason why I didn't want the jellyfish to be splattered there. He mentioned doing the sealing annually to give us a much more durable pier, and he's going to give us an estimate of what that would be. I did take them, Charles Brown showed up as well. He's the president of GNCB, the design company for the pier. And Rich and Charles went down to look at the Bel Air right away. In looking at the A2 surveys, it does look like the scour wall is on Black Point property. The seawall, at least part, majority of the seawall is on the landowner's property. Charles and Rich thought that this would fit under the category of repair, and we wouldn't need a certificate of permission to do it. It would just be, you know, approval. There is a very large void at the end of the on our property of the right of way, and the concern is that if water rushes in there, it's going to pop that piece of broken concrete right off. We did lose the cap to the Seabreeze Pier a couple of years ago due to water pressure, and that had an area where the waves to dissipate. This is coming right into that right of way, so all the force will come up and lift that up. The landowner to the south, Scala's property, had Braza come and give them an estimate. The Braza company said they're going to cut about a 16-inch hole in the scour wall between at the angle that the seawall comes in, dig it all out, and fill it with some high-grade concrete.
That's our scour wall or theirs?
That's our scour wall. I think we are the owner of the scour wall.
Yeah, I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah.
But John asked for...
He asked them, and he, Braza said, Kevin said he'd be more than willing to work with Charles. I don't know if this is a job that's too small for Rick or not, but Charles was talking about instead of 16-inch angle being cut in the scour wall, he's looking at 4 or 5 inches.
he figures there they'd be able to find any routes to the voids and fill them with the concrete. Charles is going to get back to me with a plan. And that was worried for a lot of things from Charles, so I'm going to stay on it. It's both the peer evaluations and this.
Okay. So it's possible that Charles will work with Graza, or we would choose?
Well, Charles will definitely work with Graza. I just don't know if it's a good enough job for Rich Bender, so I'd like to get another estimate in from somebody, and if Rich can give me one, I'd be very happy to have them.
If we choose not to use Braza, then there will be some coordination necessary between the two homes, north and south, and the work on ours? Or can it all be done independently?
Well, it's our seawall, our scour wall, so we would do it.
I just didn't know if they'd let you know.
Well, John's got a bid from Braza for us to get. So my feeling is that we should get two bids for the whole thing and do it as one unit, and it would be cheaper for us. There are some things that the owners want that aren't really necessary. They put two slabs there that probably weigh 250 to 300 tons. They're not going to move. But they're worried about the cracks between them, and they'd like to be drilled. I don't, they're looking for more than necessary in that area.
So if we pay for the work,
it's not what you say. We have to pay for the whole thing. That's our scour wall.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay.
The only place I think really needs work is in front of Scala's, where the geyser's coming up, and also where our right of way, the frontage on our right of way. Okay. Stuff to the north of our right of way doesn't need a whole lot.
However, I don't think it's that clear. Let's say this, and I'm not sure this, let's say the scour wall is ours and the seawall is theirs. We're talking about the space in between our wall and the seawall, okay, right here?
Right
here. Now, they want to take that space, dig out our scour wall and fill it in. But it's not clear to me if it's our responsibility to fill that space or the homeowner's responsibility to fill that space. And I don't know how we figure that out, but I think it's
interesting.
Because then it's a question of what they have heard. And I'm not convinced that the space, if it's come apart a little bit, our wall's still fine, our scour's fine, it's the space that's a problem. Is that our problem? I'm not sure. I think it's worth thinking about.
Well, we'll get that information from Charles. That's what I asked him to do, what really needs to get done and what can wait on him. But
I'm not saying I'm suggesting it needs, it's just, is it our responsibility?
So how would we find that out? Oh, hang on.
We'll have to know, do we have a A2 survey for Bel Air Road?
Not for the right of way, no. So we have the surveyors for the two properties.
Need a survey to know if that space is on our property or their property? I don't know. How do we go about that?
I don't know the answer. But I know it's a question that should be answered.
I agree.
Let's see what the cost is. But it's going to be significant.
Like $1,200, I think they.
How much?
$1,200. That's what the surveys for the other right of ways were that we used.
No. What are we talking about? Why are we here?
I'm sorry.
I was talking about the cost of
the whole. Oh, all right. You're talking about the survey over here.
Yeah, it's only $1,200. It's another issue. But I think it's going to be more than $1,200. So,
we surveyed.
And it might be we see the cost. So let's wait.
Okay. And your question is basically who owns the space between them? Because that person is in the
right. Okay.
maybe we can find out.
I don't know how.
What?
Who owns this well? I guess in order to find out who owns that space, it would be
a survey.
You say a survey. It's going to be $1,200.
That's what they have run. I don't know. I can get
probably $1,200.
How big is that space? 1 inch?
What?
Between the wall and the scour wall? Between the wall and the scour wall?
Well, they filled it all in with concrete, and it's all haphazard. It's just all chipping away.
So some places there isn't space.
Some places there is.
So
all right, well, maybe we should see how much it's going to cost, and then maybe there's a legal.
Let me see what Charles says.
I'm Jane Capoza.
Yes. What is?
And date of birth? 4/3/45.
Hey, Jane, mute yourself, please. There's no polite way to say that on smartphone.
I don't have one. How much is that? So
$50.
Oh, because I had a coupon here.
Oh, you know what? It's because it's
yeah.
I'm gonna 35.
Okay. No, I think okay, 35 Colleen. Or.
Thank you, Colleen. Okay. All right. So we will follow that up. Thank you. Okay. Parking tag. We have. Yeah, of course. Okay. New business. I'm bringing this up because I don't know if it's ever been mentioned at a board meeting, but in the past 5 years, I know there have been donations from the community, and there's been no discussion about whether the association wants it, needs it, or if there are any strings attached. And my understanding is that most associations, nonprofits, and again, it's my understanding, the board accepts donations rather than just taking any donation that someone wants to donate or someone wants to do something. It's like, I donate these flowers and I'm going to plant them. That there should be some process where the board goes, oh yeah, okay, we'd like that, we need that, and there's no strings attached. That hasn't been done in 5 years. My feeling is, but I, again, don't know the rules. I know certainly with nonprofits or school systems, it's been an issue, or not an issue, that's just the procedure. Someone wants to make a donation that needs to get accepted. So people please weigh in on that. We now have the donation, which is, I'm fine with the donation. It was just the process. Over 5 years, I've seen donations that didn't seem to be in the best interest of the association and that weren't discussed with the board, and the board didn't even know they were happening. So my suggestion is
shrubs. It was shrubs, right?
Yeah, right now, we have someone donating shrubs. And it only came up, not because I have an issue with shrubs, yeah, but that I think that things were painted with donated paint, and then some of it wasn't donated, and it was a cost, or there may have been plantings done, it just seems that if we're changing the association, that it's common with nonprofits, not that we're a nonprofit, that if someone's donating something, that the board just know about it and say, yes, we would like that. So, yes, Rick.
I think that if it's just for building and grounds, we let the beach management take care of it, and not the board.
And how about donations that aren't buildings and grounds?
So I think as long as no one's donating something specifically to me, and these shrubs are going to be donated to Black Point to be planted somewhere that is community-wide, I don't see how that could be misconstrued. That's just
that's not what I mean. That's fine. That's what we would say when someone says, I would like to donate this. And then you and I would say, sounds good to me, but we know what it is, and the board approves the donation, which is...
Yeah, well, let's go to the other extreme. I mean, two shrubs sounds silly to talk about. But if somebody came up and said, I want to put a new swing set in the playground, I would think we'd want to have some input on that. So I don't know, maybe it's a dollar amount. I don't know.
We actually do that. The Women's Club donates things, but says, can we donate the bench? we would like to donate this to the playground. So it seems like a simple enough process to just say, it just keeps the board informed, and the board, if it has any questions, it was like, I don't know, is that a safe, you know, Okay, it's not about the strip shrubs. The shrubs are wonderful.
It's a financial thing. I mean, right now, Jim has the authority to spend $250, right?
Yep.
So I would think that if someone was to give him two shrubs and who knows what, then he could say, yeah, people over there. Because it's less than $250. I don't know what the right number is, but it's less than $250. If it's a swing set,
that's different than the donation and not donation.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
If the issue is if you are donating something, does it need to get accepted? Does the board need to know about it and accept it?
I'm saying if it's small enough.
You're saying no. Okay.
I don't know what small enough is. I'm talking about that.
If you are concerned, there could always be, I'll use the term again, a task force for beautification of Black Point, you know, and that would be one of their roles. It would be two people on the board where, along with the beach manager, they could consider these things and give it a quick yes or no. I think it doesn't have to go to the full board every time.
I think quick yes or no is a great answer, but I don't think all donations have been historically for buildings and grounds.
So
that's why I think it's easier to just say, general practice is donations are passed by the board in systems like this, and that way the board has an opportunity to just go, yes, shrubs, fine.
Well, people have donated votes, too. We've ended up storing them at the top of the villa, which is, we shouldn't accept donations like that.
See, that's it.
So
yeah.
They have to have some control over what we're parking on the ground, so.
Well.
Yeah,
I'm not complaining about that. No. We just brought up the concept of donation.
Well, this isn't about the shrub. No.
It's not about the shrub. No, and I think the shrubs are a great idea, but I kind of go back to Rick's idea. If it could be, you know, if it's a time-sensitive thing like that, you can't leave shrubs out of the ground, let it be Jim and maybe two board members. But you do also have to be careful if somebody else is pulling all the something out of their yard and dumping it here and saying, oh, I donated. Yeah.
Or donating a boat. That's more descriptive of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, can we have a motion? And we can discuss more once we get a motion.
I make a motion that we establish a task force to make recommendations to the board, or if it's an urgent situation, make decisions on their own.
Okay.
Or accepting of donations.
To make recommendations for...
A
task force to make recommendations...
To the board.
To board regarding... Donations.
Accepting donations. I would say something if it's an urgent situation that they be given the power to decide.
You got all that, Brooke? No, I'm sure she's there.
Are you there?
I just need the part where you said if it's an emergency situation.
Say that again, please, Brooke.
I just wanted Steve's line where he talked about if it was an emergency situation.
If it's an urgent situation, I would move that they have the authority to accept the donation.
Okay. Thank you.
Maybe accept would be always positive. I mean, you want to make the choice, right?
Right.
Okay. They have the
authority.
Okay, second?
Yes, except
or not. Anybody want to make a second comment?
I'll second it.
Okay. That was Janet who seconded it. Brooke, all in favor, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Did I count wrong? It's unanimous.
Yeah, take your shoes off.
Okay, that's unanimous, Brooke. Okay, task force volunteers. Jim. Anybody else? I don't mind doing it since I made this think about it, but I'd like one other person.
I can assist.
Thank you, Janet. I don't think it's going to come up that much. I just feel better that we don't get stuff like boats in our backyard.
Well, that happens.
Yeah, I know. But I wouldn't want anything. Thank you.
Where we can plant those though?
I think that's up to you. It's the manager. Yeah.
No.
Okay. Do you two want to work it out?
In 2018, we removed 4 trees from playgrounds, and I recommend we plant them along the fence line.
Fine. Okay. I was hoping, especially since it's opening onto our property, but no.
Okay, we'll talk. Pretty good.
Okay. So Jim and Will will talk about where they're going to go. Thank you. Thank you for your work, though. All right, I put Freedom of Information Act information update because we're a new board. I don't think we've had a Freedom of Information Act conference, seminar, whatever, in maybe 4 years. I know it was very helpful for those of us who attended it. I know right now we're doing a lot of loosey-goosey things in quite frankly, there is room for some loosey-goosiness in a situation, you know, in a small board like this or a small association. But I think it would be good for us all to hear the same information, especially in terms of, you know, the decisions and the talk we do on email and what we shouldn't be doing and stuff like that, especially since we're going to be talking about making changes in how the board processes. So I would like to... people to be willing to attend a, what was it, now and a half conference?
Yeah.
We can get Tom Hennick from the state of Connecticut, who's representative, to come and talk to us. If an hour and a half too long, we can abbreviate it. But I think it'll get the ball rolling, get us all on the same page. And then if we have questions, at least we'll have the language to either ask him or just kind of look it up.
Make a motion that we have Tom come and speak to us as a group, other members as well, make it open to the
community. Yeah, it was open to the community, yep. Okay, any second? Sharon seconded, Steve made the motion, Brooke. Anyone opposed? Let's start that way. Okay, that is unanimous. Would people rather have it in August or wait till September?
September.
In September. Okay. Thank you. Over the years, a lot of people have been sending emails about having trouble finding things on the website, and coincidentally, both Colleen Chapin and Jim Moffitt have offered to take a look at it. They were talking about independently. I'm sure they can work together at some point. Taking a look at the website, working with our webmaster, and making it more user-friendly. Does anyone have any objection to that? Right. I'll let Colleen know. The Labor Day informational meeting, only because if we wait till August to make a decision, it will be too late, maybe. The bylaws. The bylaws say that we only have to have one annual meeting, and that annual meeting is to vote to elect board people. We also, obviously, and it is mentioned, have to have a meeting to vote on the budget, which historically has been on the same day. However, the bylaws, not the charter, say that we have to have an annual meeting by September 7th, and that was in relationship to the elections, not being. Now, again, times are crazy. We historically have an informational meeting, since we're not going to be electing anyone, if we choose to have it, I don't believe we have to send individual mailings to everybody because that's so costly. We would have to have it teleconference, but I just wanted to find out because there's really no rule. We have met our responsibilities by having an election and doing the, and voting for the budget. However, we haven't had a community meeting just to fill people in on what happened all summer. So I think it's our option to choose if we want to have that Labor Day meeting. It would be teleconference. Look at the excitement. And the only reason I'm asking is so we can let people know. Any thoughts? I don't think this is a motion kind of thing.
What information do we have to tell them to say?
Usually, it's a summary of everything that's been done. I mean, it's all documented.
But there was no reformation. There was a lot of things.
No, it's like, you know, it would be like repairs and, yeah, programs that haven't happened or changes that the board has made. A lot of it is also, you know, board decisions and stuff and reviewing, you know, golf cart parking things and what the stickers are for or not for and, rules that people tend to, a lot of people just don't know the rules. So if there's something that consistently has become a problem for the manager of Beach Patrol, we remind people at the end. It gives people an opportunity to voice their concerns as a unit. Because that's really all it's for, sharing information.
Right. Now, I think that if there's an issue, it is an opportunity for people to stand up and without a 3-minute warning and without this, and you can get up, you know. So it is, I think, a healthy thing to do, whether we want to do it now or not.
You mean now, as in Labor Day weekend? Like you say, it's an opportunity for everyone to get together, even though it's virtually.
I'm for it. I think the more that you communicate with the membership, especially since they're pretty isolated, it makes sense to make every effort we can to communicate with them. And Labor Day, just said close up, just summarize what's going on. You know.
Would it be Zoom? Like you said, telecom. Would it be Zoom?
Entirely up to the board. I think our long-term goal is to get people Zoom friendly, but I think if we do it in September, I don't know how friendly the community will be yet. I think we have to have a whole PR thing on helping people get comfortable with Zoom, but it's up to us.
What if we're on page 3 by then? Would they make it non-Zoom?
Possibly. I don't know. Even if it's phase 3, I would guess it would be social distancing.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could fit everyone in our clubhouse yard.
Gotcha.
Right. If we still have to socially distance.
I think it's good. I think by Zoom. I mean, otherwise, I find the cell phone call almost not even now.
Yeah, I think if they don't do it by Zoom, this is not a particularly
community-friendly
So, you know,
if
this is the only way
we're
going to do it,
I
always do it, but it's not, you can't just talk.
Okay. All right, so how about a Jim, and Sharon, also, we start the tutorial thing, and I'll post it in the black pointer and put it on social media, encourage people that we're Labor Day party is going to be by Zoom, and if you don't know how to, there are 2 people who are very confident to help you. Yes, Jim?
I suspended our SDP Zoom account, but I think I can easily...
Wonderful. Thank
and
you.
There would be an additional cost of $60 to boost it up from the 100 participants to up to 1,000 participants. So for that one day.
Yeah, we're going to have more than 100. At least historically we do.
Look,
yes.
I'm not in favor of Zoom just because of the problems we've had in the past. And if they're going to be opening schools by the end of August, I think there'll be a little bit more freedom for us. If people want to gather out in the property outside, I think that would be the best way to do it.
I don't know.
Hybrid maybe. So
I could order
the option.
Pete Kelly could put up a big tent in case of inclement weather so that he could be more spread out.
Think of the amount of space we need. We have to function on assuming we're going to be where we are now, because if we assume we're not, then we won't have a plan. So
limit to the first 60 people or something.
We can't close. It's for everybody. Or
I mean, could it be a hybrid though? Could it be Zoom and property, like you did tonight?
Like first come first serve.
Yeah, you get 10 seats. So that one would be.
That's a possibility.
We have a serve. 60 seats. I think that would work.
I think that might be
Zoom would be the backup for one.
Right.
Again, I would rather go to telemarketing and then Zoom, but.
I don't.
You mean just staying on that?
Yeah.
Because I understand there's some Zoom issues where people can walk if they're Zooming and they do something wrong.
I've had people turn it up to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Okay, so it looks like. We are going to have a Labor Day informational meeting, yes?
Yes.
Okay. We want to make a hybrid, yes? And the last thing is, do we want it Zoomed or teleconference? And I will throw in that some of us are thinking of our mission is to get people Zoom friendly for long-term use. But anyway, I'm sorry, I diverged. Okay, so I guess the only thing there's some discord on is do we want it Zoomed or teleconference? So let's have a raise of hands. How many people want it Zoomed?
We're calling it a hybrid, though. So 60 people here, and
we'll find out how many people
in teleconference. So
four people for Zoom. And three people, or is anybody abstaining? Okay, Rick, no. Will, no.
Janet,
no.
Right, I don't want to Zoom.
Okay.
I'd rather teleconference.
Okay, all right, so it looks like we will Zoom it. It will be a hybrid. And we'll get to work on getting people Zoom educated.
What was the issue with Zoom? I don't remember.
It wasn't just the voting. The people we didn't hear from are the people who didn't even try that wanted to attend, but were too threatened by it. So that's the PR group.
I'll make myself a good story.
All right.
The other thing to keep in mind is, Zoom, you can always just call in.
Right.
You don't have to use the camera.
They charge you $900. They charge you fees for calling in.
They don't tell you that. Someone complains about that, but I know
Carla Johnson.
Did she call the local number?
It was the number they gave her, which was the 1-900 number. And I looked at it, and all the numbers that he gave were 900 numbers. So it is a fee.
It is a fee based calling. Okay, we'll have to make sure we educate people to that, and maybe they'll just learn to Zoom or get a fee.
Does that make sense? Because you can Zoom on yourself.
I think getting the line.
Either way, we're Zooming.
That was the vote, okay?
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, thank you. All right. That's a Labor Day. Here we have the potential task force committee. This year, I have been getting more emails and personal concerns about small craft in the beach, and some of them may be able to have an immediate answer. Others may need, obviously, a long-term thoughtful process. So, one issue is, there are many, many, many more people using small craft and paddleboards. When the kayak racks were created, there wasn't much of a paddleboard community. Now there's a big paddleboard community, and we can't accommodate them on the kayak racks because they're wider than the kayak racks were built for. But there are still people with a lot of paddleboards who have the right to use the beach. So we're shrinking out of space. So the issue of how do we accommodate boats on the beach, and what kind of plan do we have to determine who can put their boats on the beach is one thing. How might we use the right-of-ways? Right now we're using one. In 1983, many right-of-ways were open for small craft. How do we enforce use of kayak racks for kayaks? Do we look at anything that would be smaller, like a bike rack type of system for paddle boards, which would save on space because they could be stacked sideways? Long-term plan for increasing number for the increasing number of boats that we would anticipate, and swimming in the boat launch area. So some of these are simple plans of, okay, we can do this, we can't do this. Swimming in the boat launch area is a little different because it's more about enforcement than planning. We got several emails about people, boaters, being concerned about swimmers in the boat launch areas. I got several comments of kayakers trying to come in going, do you know how I get in with all those people there? Is there a procedure? So whether we choose to do something about it or not needs to be looked in probably longer term, to look in one, how important it is for the community to have that rule, because it is an established rule. There is no swimming or sunbathing and no on that beach because it's a boat launch beach. That's in our rules, I think rules. There's also a rule that there's no swimming in the beach area. There is the high tide area of the beach, the high tide line, median high tide line, where we have no control. Although most of the issues aren't happening at low tide. The issues are happening all the time, so it's not that people are only sitting in that little area between the high tide and the low tide. And if is it important enough for us to keep that rule? If we're going to keep the rule, are we going to enforce it? And if we're not going to enforce it, does it make sense to keep the rule? And is there an agency, a state agency or a local agency that can give us some guidance about what kind of enforcement, if we choose to enforce, can happen in boat launch areas? So that's a mouthful. Is there anything anyone wants to address immediately of that, all those issues? Or yeah. Do we want... Yes.
I just had a couple things. One is, I have gone down there, and I think we could do a better job with the signage saying no swim, no, you know, sunbathing or whatever. But I don't know that it's really, really clear to people unless you're from down here. So I would just say that. The other thing with the boats being parked there, and maybe it's an issue you'll decide later on, but at least in the short term, I think we should ask the ones that are down there with engines to back the engines up against the wall, because I was down there the other day, and not the one that we're seeing in this picture, but one had the engine was elevated, and I could picture somebody walking by and hitting that propeller and getting pretty injured on it. So I think, you know, at least until a bigger decision is made, is it possible to just back the motors up against the wall just to prevent?
Could you mention that to people for now?
Yeah, I've been asked, I've been putting stickers on there asking to remove the engines from the boat. And they have been complying. But I know there's one, also with the trailers, I've been asking to remove the trailers from them.
There also is another issue. In our rules, it says dinghies. Now, historically, this was written before sunfish, small sailboats, paddle boards, you know, that kayak. None of these things are technically dinghies, but they're small, lightweight boats that are easily moved. We need to come up with a definition of dinghy for Black Point. We can make up our own, because if we just say dinghy, most people don't use dinghies. The boats that you see on the beach are either small sailboats or kayaks or paddle boards with a few dinghies. Does some definitions do say motors, others don't?
Well, utility dinghy has it, can have a motor, but a dinghy per se is something that's propelled by oars.
So this is a lot of big decisions to make.
Can I our discussion about the enforcement part of it, can we just look at how that's going to look like? What does the enforcement look like? Because in the past, they've ignored beach managers, chairs of beaches. You've had chairs down there, part of it. So what might the enforcement look like to?
So that, again, that's what the committee can do. If we take a look at the charter, this association has great reign on enforcing. It's very exclusive about all the things that this association can do to enforce rules, but we have to get really clear on what that means, how we're going to interpret it, and if we choose to do that. So again, that's not something we're going to decide tonight, but how do we, you know, whoever's working on this committee, take a good look at the charter. We have access to Mark Samarka, our attorney, to see what does that charter mean in terms of how we enforce, and then we have state agencies that can also give us guidelines on if there's state or local enforcement, because now it's in the water. So lots of questions. Yes, Rick?
Okay. Let's go back, and I gave a brief history about, we're really squeezing voters out. That's in essence what's happening right now. I mean, there was times when you had voters on the Nahantic Pier, which was the right-of-way for dinghies to get out to all the crafts. There were slips on the main pier where you could park your boat. There are ladders on the other side, so if you want to go for a dip, you could get over there. There's a ski raft out there. You know, there's all that stuff. Now they're put down to a small beach, and we have rules that there's no swimming or no sunbathing on that beach, and all of a sudden you're saying, we have to figure this out, another month, summer's over. So either we do it or we don't. We don't need a committee to say, you're not swimming there, you're not. You know, I would say do that. If anything, if it says dinghy beach, it doesn't say kayak or paddleboard beach, and if you want the definition of a dinghy is a small craft, either motorized or paddle, which you could bring out either for to go to your tender where your boat is or for small recreation purposes. Now, you could expand that to a paddleboard like a kayak or maybe a paddleboard, but if we use a strict definition, then we'd eliminate all those from being down there. Now, a suggestion might be you could put the regular dinghies on the beach and move the kayak rack back up on the right-of-way, you know? Just as long as it doesn't interfere. Mm-hmm.
I think the question on the floor is, do we want to try to address this all tonight, or do we want to have a group of people to take a look at all of these things? And I do have to say, enforcement isn't that easy. We've had the beach manager for 5 years that I've been on the board, and the chair. Well, one chair happens to use the beach, but I have been told 4 times before I stopped, because it's like, beating your head again. When I address people specifically saying, once I ran into guests who were very embarrassed because they didn't know. Most of the people say, yes, we know.
Yeah.
So obviously enforcement to this isn't as easy as just telling them. So do we want to determine if we want to, is there anything anybody wants to solve tonight?
So I think the swimming, I think that's dangerous. Yeah. I think that's a big issue. I think, and I agree that signage, more signage. If you could do that, that would be great. I do think that some people just are not getting it.
The people I have spoken to have said, yes, I know.
But other people, and
but
I also,
is fun.
And so also the raft, you know, the raft isn't out, and so a lot of people were going, jumping off the raft, now they're jumping off rocks. You know, I know it's too late to pull the raft back in, but I think, you know, that also caused some people to kind of mosey on to keep other beaches. I mean, kids are jumping on rocks, so that's dangerous too, right?
But this has been an issue for the 5 years I've been here.
And then, as far as the dinghy goes, you know, I don't want to bring up any names, but I felt that was a dinghy with the big issue that we were having. I don't want to mention any names.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
so.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, because it had.
Okay, so one
trailer,
better signage.
Yep.
So we have better signage to address. Yes, Jim's going to talk about engine. Will.
I would like to see
The boat off the ramp.
You want boats off of the cement ramp that leads to the
beach?
Okay, I just want to make sure it's fighting off the
thing. I understand.
Again, all of these solutions, signage is one, a plan for possible other places for the overflow of boats, and enforcement. Does anyone think we can get those dealt with tonight? No. Okay, so can I have a motion to have a task force for...
We can deal tonight with the sign.
Sign.
Okay, you mentioned signage in your... A, we can do a sign, and B, we can tell Jim, people will ignore you, but we still want you to attempt it.
Yep.
I mean, just because they say no, I mean, that doesn't... And I understand, but I think that we should be a bother to those people. We have a better sign and then be a bother. I'm not saying you have to drag them off the beach, but have a different guy go down every hour and say, we're not supposed to be here or whatever. We can do those two things.
Yep. So can you ask your beach patrol to...
I mean, there are some things that they have that big rollout, like 10 by 12 kind of swim mat thing they brought over there. So, I mean, that's ridiculous to have over there. So I talked to them about taking that off the beach. I talked to people about keeping coolers off the beach over there. That's not allowed. It is difficult to manage. And I
understand that. I'm not
asking. I will continue doing that, but I do plant a guy there for like a half hour every hour, just standing at the boat launch, kind of.
Does he speak? When I was kayaking around there, I was just paddling around out close by, and there was a beach patrol young man there, but I did not see him speak to anyone ever while I was
out there. We'll talk to him again, but I do want him to kind of, like, if there's swimmers there, tell the swimmers there's quarters coming, please move out of the way.
Before that.
Every half hour or every hour, go and say, you're not supposed to be here. And, they can blow you off, but at least you'll be above, and at least it'll be clear to them that
we mean it.
It's a safety issue. Now, if we don't address this, and somebody comes up there, let's say with a motor, like a jet skier, or with their etiquette out there. But, I mean, somebody could get chopped up out there or hit by a front end of a kayak and get really hurt.
Or the kayak driver could get sued.
Yeah, and if we don't address it now, what's our liability for not doing it? I think that we have to address it and say you have to be off the boat beach because it's dangerous. I think that's important. Unless you're going to eliminate all craft on that beach, which I think would be a terrible thing.
So how about if you keep some kind of a record for the board as to how many times a day, I don't know what's reasonable, what isn't, that people get reminders that they should not be there. Certainly should happen every day. And how many times a day, so that we can at least say, okay, we have tried this for 4 weeks, and every single time I've gone, nobody has left. And then we can look at what our next option is. Meanwhile, okay, so now we've got frequent approaches We've got asking people to turn engines around. We've got more specific signage. And do we want to just wait on long-term planning for space or following up on enforcement? Will?
Well, I talked to Ron Johnson, who's the harbor master. Talked to him yesterday about the issue. I explained the whole issue to him. And he was like, well, below the high tide line, you can't really do anything. And in the water, he was saying that it's for public use. And then he said, well, I'm like, well, what kind of enforcement is available? Anything to do with that? And he says, well, the East Lyme and Waterford police have a marine patrol, and he could ask them to come in and just make sure that they're seen, and they come out on Saturdays and Sundays. And
do they speak to people, or do they just get...
Well, they just kind of drive around.
Yeah, that's the guy on the beach doesn't care.
No. Nobody's going to care if they, I mean, they don't
I'm just trying to find some kind of...
I'm just saying, be a fob, I mean, that's all.
Yeah. The other thing, and even if you've seen these pictures, people having their golf carts parked there, as well as bicycles. Last year, we went to launch our boat, and my husband almost drove over some kid's bicycle. So, if we, you know, shoo all bicycles, all golf carts out of there, my other question I'm just throwing out there, there's green on either side. On one side, there's stones and rocks. Were those rocks booked by Black Point?
Yes.
Because they make it very dangerous for trying to launch the sailboat. Because you can't rig your boat until you get to the beach. So we get down there, and if somebody else is waiting, we're going to hold somebody else up because there's no place to pull to the side to get your rigging and your mast up. So.
And it was put there because people were parking there and leaving their trailers there and misusing the property.
Which is what tends to happen, or what used to happen, was whenever there was an enforcement issue, rather than changing the enforcement, a different substitute came up. So that's why I'm like, let's look at enforcement. Instead of modifying our environment to make life hard on everyone, I know when I pull my kayak down in the storm and I'm barefoot, it hurts a lot. And when I pull other people's kayaks, you know, it's not... That doesn't serve the community. Enforcement would serve the community better. But anyway, we have a couple of suggestions. We can certainly act on those. And I still don't sense a whole lot of money. So I'm going to look at you.
I interrupted because I thought there were two or three things we could do now. I don't have any problem with us having a task.
Oh, okay. All right. Will?
I'm not so online for the
Our rules say no swimming. The sign says no swimming. Yes,
no,
it does.
No.
See, the thing is embedded. We need a no swimming. I'm sorry.
Anything in the water is not our rule.
Anything in the water is not our rule.
No.
It doesn't say no swimming.
Right. But he had to get there.
It
the
does
first
say
place.
No swimming.
He's got to have a blanket on the beach.
Mary gave me all these messages. We have demarcated as a boat launch area. I forget why it's a lot of information. But it's identified as a no swimming area, boat launch area. I don't know if it was from D.
It was from D.
If
there were approved swimming areas from D.
You're trying boat launch.
Okay. And then there's the beach. What I'm just saying is I think this needs some more in-depth exploration. We need more information if we want to be serious about making that beach safe for swimmers and boaters. Because this is the fifth year we have discussed it at board meetings and nothing has changed. And nobody has gotten together and said, what are all our options from local to state? What's the history of this? And looked at it as a problem to be solved as opposed to one to just go.
All right, well, right now, DEP is closed until further notice.
Okay, that,
because
that's
of COVID.
They're not going to change anything. Well, we're going to change some things tonight. But in terms of a plan, you know, it's been 5 years, nothing has happened. So if Steve is closed now, I'm okay with that. We can spend more than a month addressing it if we choose to address it. Rick?
We have racks with kayaks on there. I think that we should allow dollies and small carts for pull, or not trailers. Trailers you have a hitch on, that you should allow them down there also.
That brings me to, there is an immediate issue that I did want to address. We have asked trailers to be off. Jim has asked a few people to remove their trailers. There's an individual who has a sand dolly. And he explained that it will fit in his boat, so we need some definitions of what wheeled thing is acceptable on the beach. His fits in his boat. That may be a criterion. You know, it's in your boat. It's not taking any more space up. But that we need to address immediately. So we need to explain to people, if we're asking people to remove trailers, that there's a difference between a trailer and a sand dolly. And this individual, I think, deserves an answer since we have asked them to move it.
This is a sand dolly. It's not a trailer.
I agree.
Okay. Sand dollies are okay.
Well,
yeah. No, I'm okay.
I just say that because it's not. And yeah. No, I don't think anybody would put a trailer there. It would make no sense.
We've had two on the beach. With the one had a catamaran on it, and wasn't there one with a sailboat on it as well? Yeah, they take up a lot of room. They were big.
With a car hitch on it and all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think as long as it doesn't have a car hitch on it, you know, it's something small enough where people have to pull it, manually pull it up or down the street, you know.
And it doesn't take up any more room.
If it doesn't take up any more room than the boat, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's let that individual know that it's okay, and that may be a good standard when you have to explain to people. It doesn't take up any more room than your boat, so when your boat's on the beach, the trailer doesn't make any difference.
Please use the word carts or dollies versus trailer, because trailer
looks like a problem. Yeah, well.
And I'm not on this personality, but that individual has a different job, a different ministry.
A what?
Different thing. And he is on the
first
line.
Yeah,
okay,
works it on
different
the
issues.
Got to be off the ramp.
They got to be off the ramp. And then we need to determine whether it's tonight or long term when boats need to be taken off the ramp and there is no room on the beach. Do they go on the right away or do they come up here?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to address that now or do we want to have okay, so. Sand carts or sand dollies are okay as long as there's a thing. If a sand dolly, if it works, gets your boat to the water, it's no bigger than your boat. We're going to do signage. We're going to ask the engines to get turned around. You, Jim, are going to have patrol or yourself speak to people more than once a day. So maybe two visits a day. Well, enforcement of bulk carts should be happening anyway, so we just have to get a little more assertive about that.
Could we also take bicycles?
I don't know.
So, I mean, if they're the same families that are on the beach, they'll just have them.
Well, the bikes make it hard to bring a boat down. That we prohibit that right away from golf carts and bicycle carts.
Obstructed.
Yeah.
Obstructed
away.
Well, would it be okay if they were in a rack and, you know, neatly stored?
there's really no room for a rack there.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Unless it went all the way up, but then again, why would you? You shouldn't, if you're not sitting on the beach, then you shouldn't, unless you took your bike down.
I should be able to ride my bike to the beach.
Yeah, but if you're not supposed to be sitting on that beach.
They get on their rowboats and go out to the boats.
Well, then if you put them, maybe you put a bike rack right by the
I park a block over to do my kayak.
Watching people come down on their bikes, get on their rowboats, and go out on their bike. That's what they're doing.
No, I was just asking if there's enough room. Would a rack in the right spot solve the accessibility problem?
Yeah, in the right spot, it probably would.
Maybe we should go buy a rack.
Can we get a rack for less than $250? Go for it. If we can get a rack for $250, and you can put it in a place, and maybe you can check with Sharon, who's a boater, for a good place where it wouldn't interfere with boaters getting access to the beach. Well, did I miss your hand up, or did I already get you? Correct.
She has a grandchild on the spectrum, maybe, and it's tough to get in and out.
No.
I'll
tell you. An occupational therapist for 40 years. There is no handicap parking at the boat launch. I'm just telling you, it's not my decision, but if we're going to have handicap parking at the boat launch, then it needs to be a whole decision. Is that something we want to discuss tonight?
No.
No handicap parking at the boat launch.
It's not that she's parking a car down there, she's parking a golf cart down.
No,
it doesn't make a difference. Why should a golf cart be so special?
She can park in handicap parking one block over.
Are they using a boat?
Well, they're sitting on the beach.
No! Why are they sitting on the beach?
Yeah. I don't
want to
get into
it. Well, yeah, you get into it.
They're using the cart to go sit on the beach that they're not supposed to sit on?
Well, that's when you're below the high tide line.
They're not sitting below the high tide line. When I'm there, it's high tide and they're full of it. I'm sorry, I'm getting agitated. All right, would you please.
COVID.
Yes, now Italian. Would you please convey to anyone that chooses to park a golf cart on the right-of-way that there is no parking, handicapped or otherwise, and they will get ticketed?
Yep.
Thank you.
And there is a
handicapped spot
on Main Beach.
On Seabreeze, one block over, there's a handicap spot.
What is told to me is that they have permission because the child is autistic and they need to get the child up and down from that area. They need the golf cart to do it. They challenged the board on it, and
So how does it work? They use the cart to go down the ramp to the beach?
And then she parks it in that little, between the rocks. Between those rocks.
Is she by herself?
With her grandchildren.
With a child? With one child?
Yeah, one or two.
So it's not her that's handicapped, it's the child that's handicapped?
Oh, yeah.
Cheryl,
so one word.
This is what it looks like.
The golf cart?
The golf cart.
There's no handicap parking. And if they want to bring it to the board and we want to discuss it, but there's no handicap parking. There's no parking at all.
Well, I saw it there yesterday. I'll be
ticketed. Yes. It should be ticketed. There's no parking at all, handicapped or not. And we have no obligation to make a handicap parking spot there.
I mean,
She has permission from Del Mastro, but Del Mastro doesn't own the neighborhood.
That's right.
He has access.
That's right. He wants to park in Del Mastro's parking lot. Like, that's the driveway that's fine with me. Okay, can we end this discussion? Okay. Does anyone want to consider a long-term task force to address all of these things?
Can I make a motion that we...
Sharon makes a motion, Brooke, that we will establish a task force for small craft issues, management issues. Second it?
Sorry.
Rick seconds it. Anybody object? We have a small craft task force. Okay, let's see. Right now, we just have a parking task force. Have we made any other task force?
Donations.
Okay. Yep, we got that. All right. So, can we have volunteers for? This is going to really be a long term, a lot of work if we really want to address this as comprehensively as possible. So, Will? You'll be on it? Anybody else?
I don't think I'm
qualified for that. You don't have to. It's more about what do we do with space for the community. Have you overextended yourself already? Otherwise, I'll pressure you. No, really, do you feel overextended?
No, but I
know about books. I sell, so I'll...
You're going to be on it?
I just think that it's more...
Okay.
So,
okay. And I'll be on it because I'm involved with it all the time. I was just thinking in terms of what do we do as a community in terms of too many boats and then how do we use land or do we or, but no, that's okay.
We have three people. Is it really crazy this year because everyone's home?
No,
it's been like this.
Yeah, it's just, this is interestingly enough, the first year I've gotten this much feedback. And in the past I've said, would you email the board, you know? So a couple of people emailed it's been like that. Okay. All right, so Brooke, that would be Will, Cheryl, and Rick. This was, I think, more of a question. Procedure for recording and collecting parking tickets. Do we have a procedure once you give out that ticket?
Yeah, I can't. I don't know how I would collect it. How you would expect me to collect it.
Okay, do you record it?
Yeah, I record it.
Okay.
I record the plate number, the vehicle identification, license plate, but then that's in the location.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But I can't take it further than that.
Right. Question for Ruth. If we have identified people that owe money on tickets, does it ultimately go on to a lien? If someone owes the association money,
if they owe tax money,
they only taxes.
That's all I do.
Okay.
Contract is a different type.
So I can look into if someone owes the association money, how one goes about collecting it.
I'm trying to get past. How do I identify?
Yeah,
that?
No, I jumped forward. I'm sorry. I think
he hasn't established that they haven't paid. He just doesn't know how to collect. Isn't that correct?
It's volunteer. They nail it in.
Right. And my only suggestion is if it happens twice. I actually had an idea if it happened twice, but I can't remember what.
Who do they mail it to? Who do they mail it to? They mail it. We had one challenge.
No, but who do they mail if you're going to pay your
challenge?
Box. Yeah. So Brooke would get it.
Pardon me?
Brooke would get it.
I get it.
She would open it? You would open it?
Why don't you put a deadline on when it has to be safe by? If it's not, then it's a $25 fee.
Yeah, but
beyond that.
I'm just trying.
And then how we collect it?
I don't know who it is. I only have a license plate.
Now you have one individual where you know where he lives. Do you know his name?
Yes.
Okay. If you know someone's name, it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, not right now, but if you know the name of the person who's parked in the car, then we can follow up with
you. Yeah,
the
but
there's many, most of them I don't know.
No, okay. But
they're out of state plates.
Right. Yeah. For starters, if you know them, can you put their name on the ticket, please?
Yes, I do.
And then we'll take it as it comes.
I do.
And add a date.
I do.
Within a month, say, when you fill it out, payable by.
Yeah, I put their name on it.
Okay. Thank you.
And does somebody tell him that it got collected? When it comes in?
It hasn't happened. I would definitely.
You haven't gotten any money yet?
Well, you sent out 44 tickets? No, only a couple were actually tickets.
Yeah, the six or seven were actually tickets. And they,
right, and none of them were paid, is that correct?
One of them was challenged, and he sent the ticket back with the letter.
I know, but out of the six, none of them has been paid, is that correct?
Yeah. How recently were they?
July, June.
That long ago. I gotta see. Happy New Year uniform.
Well,
we wanted to, but there was a every topic. And basically, every topic was.
We have that way that he checks once a month to somebody and says, is anything paid? And if not, follow up.
I'm going to get in the mail so I can see if a letter like that comes in.
Well, I don't know. Ribbon away.
But we need to know within a month. The problem is, how do we follow up? If we know whose car it is, and you do know it's one individual.
It was a golf cart.
Right, and that was ticketed, and you got a very nasty response, but you know that individual. So we can look into how to follow up when someone owes the association money. I'll talk to Al about that, and if I have to, I'll talk to our attorney about that. But meanwhile, for starters, after a month, would you please let us know who has it paid?
Yep.
And then we'll look into it. Yeah, it's tricky, but if you do know, please let me know. And did I give you back that appeal?
Yes. Okay. Yep. And,
so someone appealed their ticket because it doesn't say anywhere that you can't use a sticker. It also doesn't say anywhere you can't write your own permission. It just says you have to use a parking tag. So that does not seem like a legitimate.
It doesn't say anywhere you have to use
that a parking tag. That you can't use a black point sticker to park.
Our rules and regulations.
Well, it says you must use a parking tag.
No.
It doesn't say you may not use a parking sticker because it doesn't say all the possible things you can't do. It just says what you must do. So it's getting sent back, and we're going to ask that individual.
Okay, we haven't finished the rules and regulations. They're not typed up.
It's in all the rules and regulations.
But is it apparently it's open to interpretation?
No.
Okay.
No, that's why I want to get rid of the stickers. There's just people somehow think when they get something that identifies them as a black pointer, not everybody reads the annual letter, not everybody reads the minutes, not everybody reads the black pointer. So there are people who think that the black point sticker is a parking tag. And that's this individual thought. So, yeah.
So we should start putting something in the black pointer that points that out.
We will do that. We do put in the black pointer, you must have a parking tag. Now we will put in the black pointer, not a sticker.
A hanging tag.
And maybe we should get rid of, we'll see after you guys come up with a solution. We'll get rid of the mistake one.
Okay, there you go.
All right, so now we have a small craft, thank you. I already moved on that. Okay, so right now for procedure for recording, and within a month you will let me know or whoever the chair is, and then we will proceed. If there are two tickets to the same person, please make that clear. Okay, all right. We had a request from Ed Zito, which I don't think will be very challenging to address, but it opened a little bit of a bigger picture, so let me just introduce this. We originally closed all of the clubhouse property at the beginning of COVID. And gradually, we've been opening things in here and there and have opened with the caveat that we would like to make sure that whatever you're doing, you don't want to open it to just willy-nilly, but if you're doing a group activity, we want to be assured that you're going to do it within the guidelines. So technically, without that, we are still closed, with other than the tennis courts and the
basketball court.
Bocce, thank you, and basketball. And I thought that I I didn't see it documented. Then we talked about tennis and bocce. We talked about small groups, families. So Ed very appropriately gave us a request to use it for groups, but within the, you know, you all got it, within the limit. So one, can we tell Ed, yes, go ahead with your plan. Okay. Two, the bigger plan that Phil brought up was, are we just going to open everything? Now, nothing has changed since the vice chair and the association manager spent about together 5 or 6 hours setting up the elections so that everybody could be safe. We're still functioning under the same guidelines. So do we want to just open free-for-all or say, yes, we're open, just submit to someone on the board, so you don't have to wait for a meeting, your plan so we know you are doing it. If it's a group, we're doing it thoughtfully and with regard to the guidelines. So those are the two options I can think of, and if there's a third option, but I think we need to address because more and more groups are asking about activities. So do we want assurances, or do we just want to say we're open? Yes, Jim.
Would that include rental of the clubhouse? Is that separate?
I think rental of the clubhouse would be easily managed because we can't get more than 25 people in here. But no, you're right. We need to address that too. So
we're still closed on rental, so.
We are still closed unless people choose to say you can be open for 25. And clubhouse use. If the clubhouse is going to be used, do we want to assure that there's going to be social distancing? The request that you got, I heard it was rescinded from the same group because they play virtually and they didn't need it. But if people want to play cards or do something that's not allowing for social distancing, do we want to make it available? No. So I guess the two black and white ones are we opening everything up or are we going to have some caveats? I know he's getting tired of answering.
So when they send the request, it would go to the board, and
or it could be one person. Just here, let's just make sure this. So, I mean, one possibility was like Ed sent this thing, and I looked at it and it was like, yeah, that's on the guidelines, and let's bring it to the board because we haven't officially opened up everything. So we could either open up everything, or we could say it's open if you send a plan that is consistent with guidelines to any member of the board or a member of the board, and that person can just say, yes, okay, it's on the guidelines. If we want to ensure, obviously, unbiased community safety. So.
Okay. We'll have to know if you open up the clubhouse, who's going to sanitize the clubhouse after the use?
We pay someone to do that.
Who's going
to
pay for it?
We pay someone to do that.
Sanitize. That's more than just cleaning.
I'm not going to argue with you.
I know.
Well, we haven't decided yet because we haven't discussed whether we're opening it or not. It's certainly a good question.
I just share information. I spoke to the legislature about opening for public bathrooms like you've had one.
Uh-huh. Thank you for doing that.
And they said that there aren't any, other than the timeliness of cleaning, they didn't say there's any guidelines that they need to follow.
And what did they give for timeliness?
Just have sanitizer available, just give a good scrubbing, not after every use, but at, you know, a couple of times, you know, just
couple of times.
She didn't really get into specifics, just use sanitizer, but there's really no guidelines for them about how many times you should.
Okay. I know East Lyme had a considerable discussion about how to clean the bathrooms at the beach and stuff, so I assume there's probably more information there.
Okay.
But
so you have the Ed Zito with the bocce courts, and then we the stop and go with the co-directors, and then we had the women's club stop and go with theirs. So there's a lot of confusion of how we're handling this. So it's a good thing to address now. I think the clubhouse is still closed. We haven't opened that back
correct.
Up. But the grounds, I think, we've pretty well opened. I like the idea, if want to just throw something, you know, that you're following the guidelines, and they submit it to, as you say, someone. But you have to be aware of it. You know, I know that there's a lot of things people want to do. Just other things that have happened locally, both the Oak Grove and the Niantic Bay Beach, and that Niantic Bay Yacht Club put their rafts in, you know, just in the last 2 weeks. And so there are things starting to open up elsewhere, too. Now, is there a lot of kids on there? You bet. Yeah. But,
yeah, I think,
you know, are you willing to take the risk? Yeah. I mean, it ends up being at your own risk. And I don't think that we as a community can beware of everybody. You know, it's going to have to be at their own risk, but at least let us know that you have a plan to keep things together, you know, within the guidelines.
And those are two different things.
Yeah.
At your own risk means you're not attending to the guidelines. So the guidelines haven't changed since June 27th. But people are changing because they're set up and they want to play. But when you're doing something at your own risk, it's not at your own risk. You are a member of the community and you could be spreading it. So that's a determination that societies have to make. Some are more conservative than others. An assurance that someone is following guidelines and is aware of guidelines is safer for communities, may not allow for all of the same activities. So that's we got to figure out. Yes,
I have a quick question for Rick. When you're saying that, Rick, about opening up, are you talking about opening up the clubhouse or just the grounds?
The grounds.
See, I agree with Rick on that. I think the grounds should be open at your own risk. The clubhouse to me is a little bit different because it doesn't involve cleaning and sanitizing and how can I be sure that, you know, the table is clean or whatever. So I would be okay with opening up the grounds, you know.
I agree.
So
are
you thinking in terms of small groups or big events, like a social that involves just everything?
Closed
well, I think
outside. Like there are some outside activities that could involve 150 people.
Well, the guidelines now are still 100. 150
right.
Only for a graduation.
Right. Right. So 100, if there was an activity with 100 people, would you want assurances that it's being run safely? For the sake of the community,
yeah.
Not for yourself. That's why it's like either we can say no, do whatever you want. I mean, we don't have profligate people here, but 100 people are probably not going to socially distance during a social event. So unless someone establishes, this is what you have to do to attend. So that's kind of my point, and I'll stop because I know I'm fine.
There's one technical thing that I haven't been able to get my head around. You know, the club is really financially independent of Black Point. You know, they support themselves, even though we run their money. The women's club is independent of, and the same thing with the men's club. They're not really run by the board. They're run independently, but they use the grounds of that the board controls. So, as far as them doing activities, it's not us saying what they have to do, but when it comes to our grounds, we can say what they have to do. That's where the box comes in, Mike, right, Kevin?
Yeah, I don't think that's correct, Rick. I think they are under the auspices of the board, and the board historically has overseen any activities that the Women and Men's Club have.
I don't think that's correct at all.
Okay, well,
If
the women's or men's club wants to, when the women's and men's club, okay, so they ask permission because it's on ground. When the women's and men's club, let's ask them. My understanding is that, not oversee, like we're going to give you, but whatever they do is part of the association's management. Like the board has responsibility for anything the women, because it's Blackmore, it's
that's
not an individual. Okay, let me ask them.
What do you mean ask them?
I will ask Kate and John.
What?
Who else would you find out from? We disagree.
Well, I know that the
when's the last time you had any control over when the men's club met here on a Wednesday night?
I think the board can be responsive to anything. If
It's the association's men's club. It's not a social club put together by neighbors.
Yes, it is.
No, it's the association men's club. It's open to anyone in the association. It's associated with the association. Right. You know, I can't go on with this.
No, let me just go back. When's the last time that the board had anything to do with what the men's club did on a Wednesday night in this room? Besides saying it's okay to have events. Did
I
they oversee who was here, how many people were here, who made a presentation? No.
I don't know because I haven't seen them do anything unique that has not been typical, whatever they've been doing.
This isn't making sense. You just said they oversaw it.
You know what? Why don't we stop arguing and ask them? So wouldn't that be a whole lot easier?
All right.
Cheryl, we may have the answer right now. If Bruce could answer, do those groups have their own tax ID numbers or do they use Black Point's tax ID?
I have no idea. I don't feel that.
Right. Al might know.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Thank you.
One tax ID.
Al, are you still on?
It doesn't necessarily, but if they have different tax ID numbers, then they're separate entities.
They're separate entities. The men's club has its own money, and they have their own budget. They give
right. Can we stop
donations.
The
donations
and get it confirmed by the people who
no
run
connection.
The
media?
I didn't know.
I'm still here, Cheryl.
Al, do you know if the Women's and Men's Club have their own tax ID or if they use Black Point, the association's ID?
I do not know. I can find out. Yeah.
Okay, you don't need to find out right now, but I'll talk to John and Kay and see what's happening. Can we make some decisions without that determination? Even if we look at them as independent social groups, do we want to open up the outdoors for any activities, or do we want to have people pass by plans to one representative member of the board to ensure, basically, do we want to ensure guidelines, respect for the guidelines? Yes, sir.
I would say we keep it the same way you did the playground and the basketball court, that they use it at their own risk. And I mean, as long as you have adults here, I think people have to be responsible for themselves.
Okay, somebody want to make a motion? Oh, great. Neil, make the motion first.
I move that we open up the outside facilities with printed guidelines, you know, that will vary with the state recommendations, just as we do with the beach, the basketball courts, and the playground.
Second. Discussion.
Why don't we just ask them to, if they're going to use the grounds, that they follow the state's guidelines.
But don't we want to know? Don't we want to know if they're going to have 100 people there on Thursday night? I mean, there's a difference between controlling it and knowing about it.
So there's no scheduling conflict, you mean, or have two groups of 100?
Yeah.
Well, Jim does that anyway. If you're just concerned about scheduling conflict, they would reserve it with Jim.
Well, that would mean they have to reserve.
That's standard operating procedure. That's not related to COVID or anything. If anybody wants to reserve a big event, they would get in touch with Jim.
In the building.
I was thinking, not. Have you ever had anyone ask if you could have, if they could have a big hit?
Well, last year we had that conflict with the bocce tournament and opening up the kids' club.
Yeah.
Well, how about when the men's club used to have some guys singing and what have you, and they had a whole bunch of people outside?
Yeah.
Did they let us, the board, know that they were going to do
that? Well, I wasn't here then, but I would expect that they did, the men's club.
I would think so. I would think that they would say, by the way, July, August 15th, we're going to have a thing.
Jim is usually the person they do that with. And it goes on the calendar.
So women's club planning in August event like that. So you're talking about? That's what you're talking about?
From what I know, that has been reversed during the month, because not to have another board meeting, I was asking people for plans. And outside of anything I know, I think there was a lot of controversy on the decision within the people involved. So when I asked Kay to bring the information to the board, like Ed did, it got changed. So I'm not sure exactly what happened.
Part of the motion.
Oh, we got, okay, we have a motion. We have a second.
Part of it to say that Jim would be the one to schedule those.
I don't think we need to have a motion on that. That's standard procedure. Okay, so the motion on the floor is
to open the grounds based according to the expanding Connecticut executive orders.
As they are at that time.
At that time. I think that's
okay. Modified
enough and short enough where it makes
okay.
sense.
All right. All in favor? Two, three, four, five. All opposed? Are you abstaining?
No, I said
you just said, oh, okay, that's just one hand.
I just think they should schedule it. That's fine.
Okay,
is
that passed? 6-1? All right, the last item was if we have enough time. But this is not a critical, we have to solve the problem tonight, with standing and ad hoc committees, which we pretty much addressed for addressing current issues. Can
trust?
We postpone?
The voting rights?
Huh?
The trust?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Where did I put that? Charter and trust. Okay, we have Sharon, and I'm sorry, I talked to Anita Coffey. She said she might be out. Thank you. Okay.
Just very quickly, Cheryl said she got some contact from folks looking in, wanting us to look into going back to provide a voting right for trust. So Anita Shepner was, I think, involved in this originally, and she's done some research. She shared it with me as well as Cheryl. So it's just something we're going to look at as long as the board is, we don't need a motion, but just as long as the board is aware that we're looking into it. We'll have more to come back probably for the August board meeting.
Right. Yeah, it's a big deal because we'd have to change the charter.
Right.
Yes, and it would also involve going to the legislature. So it's something that we would work on probably through the fall so that we could get it in for the legislative session in January.
So just wanted to make sure everybody on the board was okay with opening the issue up. And the details can come later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
We had a question earlier.
Huh? Yes.
Yeah, the earlier question but discussion.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. Have we done enough for now on standing it on ad hoc committee? And we'll just take it as a vote.
Task force.
And task force. That's right, we haven't gotten to the standing committee.
I think that they're effective.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I've been pushing for quite a while.
Okay. I'm going to open up for public comment. And there was one that Cindy had commented on something, and I wanted to address it, and I don't understand my notes.
She wants to have a place in the next board on the agenda.
Oh, the right to speak on the agenda. Thank you. Okay. All right. I am going to open up for public comments again. So if you have a public comment, please dial *6 and give your name and address. And before I do that, I will respond to one of Cindy Trockey's questions, which was about members contributing to the agenda and speaking at meetings. These meetings are business meetings. For the board, public comments are optional depending on the board, and we have voted to have public comments. When I can only imagine that what Cindy, what you read, Cindy, when it talked about members contributing to the agenda, they were talking about members of the board. I know that language is sometimes confusing in our charter. Most of the time they're talking about members of the board, not members of the association. So I am going to open up for questions and answers. Well, mostly public comments, which is called. Sorry about that.
I'm glad you said it. This old ticker won't take it.
Okay, we are still on, and we have a few people right now. I'll turn it down again. You know, I'm going to leave it up until we start talking so I don't turn it down so much that we can't hear. This is either Alyssa or Ed Zito. I'm guessing it's Ed. Okay, Ed.
Yes, this is Ed. Hi, this is Ed Zito. I just wanted to mention three things quickly. Number one.
Can you have your address, please?
I'm sorry. Ed Zito, 57 Nahantic.
Thank you.
Number one, I just want to thank the board for their diligent service. Tonight's meeting was very extensive, and you are to be commended for your deliberations. Number two, if appropriate, I agree with Rick Deschenko's comments about needing to have some appropriate generations represented on the long-term fiscal review committee. But if you don't get to the desired number, I'm willing to serve. Number three, regarding the bocce court usage, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, a group of interested bocce players on a voluntary and informal basis are going to meet at the bocce courts to try to finalize the public health and safety guidelines that we'll be utilizing, as well as the format for play for the rest of the summer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's great to hear. Thanks. Okay. Wendy.
Wendy Bourget, 1 Osprey Road. This is regarding the boat beaches and the boats on the boat beaches. A lot of good conversation came up tonight, but I do want to remind you that I know you mentioned it was for the safety for the swimmers and boaters, but also for the seawalls. As the directions or whatever say, the tie-ups in the event that you're tying your boat up is with the express permission of the homeowners that own the seawalls, because the seawalls, at least down here at South Beach, are privately owned. I'm not sure what the situation is at the rest of the boating beaches. But with that in mind, I have told boaters throughout the years not to tie up to our seawall if I thought that their boat was in danger to my seawall, particularly if it's a heavy boat. And I know people were talking about putting boats with motors on them motor first. That would not be something that I would give permission on my seawall to tie up to. And the tricky thing at the boat beach at South Beach is that boats can float away because of the high tides there. But the propellers towards the seawall are likely to damage the seawall with the waves pushing the boat against the seawall. So I hope that you do talk to the homeowners whose seawalls will be under consideration to make sure you're not making rules that would jeopardize their seawalls. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. I'm glad to hear that. Okay. I think this might be you, Cindy.
Yes, hi. Cindy Trokey, 22 Buharin. I just wanted to understand the Robert rules that we go by, and that I would like that on our website so that we can be educated members, especially myself. I do appreciate what the board does and all the work that you guys put in and the time and effort, but I do need some understanding about different things and how we can be put on the agenda. And I really do believe that the members are not supposed to be separated from the board in being able to speak at meetings and vote at meetings, from what I understood from the reading I've done. And I don't know how we're going to get more clarification of that. And I do believe that the attorney that represents our association, our municipality, needs to be looked at so there's not any conflict of interest, and that our interests are not being protected properly because we don't have an attorney who really represents our interest. And right now we have a conflict of interest. If the town of East Lyme has Mark Zemacher as his attorney, as their attorney, and we have Mark Zemacher as our municipality attorney, and I would appreciate us not having any conflict of interest with our attorney who needs to consult, you know, we need to consult with, and that will represent us and our interests. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Thomas Magnuson, I am unmuting you.
Hi, this is Julia Magnuson, Seven Park Court. I have a few things I wanted to address tonight. One already was addressed. The parking at the clubhouse, I have seen that several times, people parking there and packing up their bags and walking down to the beach. I'm not sure if that's being monitored, but I have witnessed it myself. I also wanted to address the sitting on Seaview Beach. I've been coming down to this beach my whole life, and we've never had an issue with sitting on Seaview Beach. I'm not sure what the safety issue is. I understand boats coming in and out. I've never heard of some situation that's happened. I've also never witnessed something myself. So I guess I just want some more clarity on, has something happened? What are the statistics? If people ever go and use their boats, when I've been sitting there, I've been asked politely to move. I move, and it's been a non-issue. I also am a mom to a young child, and I prefer that beach because of the size. And I think that if beaches are only used for boats, then you're taking away from other people's uses. And furthermore, one last issue I've had on that beach was recently, it was actually a member of the board that was taking videos of people sitting on the beach, which to me just seems a little unacceptable. It feels voyeuristic and it's unfriendly. And had I been there with my child, I would have been really upset that somebody was taking videos of us. It just doesn't seem like the friendly way to go about doing things. It doesn't seem like that's what should be done in our association. And I think a bigger issue at the boat ramp is that people coming into our beach and using the boat ramp that are not part of the association, which I've also witnessed over the past few weeks. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody want to respond to anything?
I was thinking about talking about this voting at board meetings, and we've gone over this before. I don't know what this was going on. Cindy.
Oh. Maybe we can talk about it next month.
Yeah.
Would you send me a note and I'll put it on the agenda?
Yeah, because I think the bylaws are pretty clear.
All right. Is there anything that anyone needs to address before we adjourn?
I just have one safety concern. You know, people are very good at distancing while walking. I'd just like to remind the community that you should walk facing traffic. There was an instance where somebody was on a skateboard and ran over an 8-year-old on Whitecap, and his head just smashed against the concrete and was rushed to the hospital. He's fine. I just wish that, you know, people pay attention. There are a lot more kids on bikes. If you're on a wheeled vehicle, go like a car. If you're walking, please walk facing traffic. That's just a little reminder.
Okay, and I believe Jim posted that in the Black Pointer. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
All right, can I have a motion to adjourn? Steve moves. Second. Rick, anybody against it? It's unanimous. We have adjourned. It is 8:54. Thank you, Brooke. Thank you, Alan Ruth. Huh? Oh, I'm turning off the whole thing for you. Okay.